Okay, it's can everybody, all the council come to see Jerry, Adam, let's start. It's 9-11. Where's my sheet? Good morning. Welcome to the Dallas City Council meeting. It's 9-11. This morning Father Chris, in celebration of the Greek Food Festival, we have invited Father Chris with the Holy Trinity Great Orthodox Church in Dallas to perform this morning invocation. The 58th Annual Greek Food Festival is set to begin this Friday, September 26th through Sunday, September 28th. The event will include live music, dancing, cooking, and demonstration and church tour. Thank you, Father Chris, for leading this morning invocation, and thank you, Tina, for giving us a taste of what to expect this weekend from the festival. Father Chris, will you please stand? With that, Lee Klein, we live in the pleasure of leading.
Okay. Almighty Lord, we thank you for the many blessings which you continually bestow upon us. We ask that you remember our most faithful and pious public authorities, these members of the Dallas City Council, which you have counted worthy to be appointed over this city. Crown them with the honor of truth and goodwill. Strengthen their arm, exalt their right hand, and establish their power, and grant to them deep and undeprivable peace. Speak good things to their hearts about your temples of worship and all your people, so that within their peace we may lead a calm and quiet life in all piety and dignity. Amen.
Thank you. Mr. Farmer?
And
the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you so very much.
Thank
you so very much. And I just wanted to let all of you know, being that you're such a big part of our lives and you help us out so very, very much, that yes, the festival, we'd love to see you. If you come to the festival, get a hold of somebody with a walkie-talkie and ask for me. And we'll get you in and take care of you and give you some food, although you have some treats right there in front of you. But also that starting in January 2015, we are celebrating our 100th anniversary in Dallas, Texas. We've been in three different locations. We're going to have a whole year. 2015 will be the 2000. We'll celebrate our 100 years in Dallas and highlighting different things and all the milestones that have taken place at our church with a wonderful kickoff event in January of a concert, and hopefully in November will be the culminating affair. And we're hoping to include all of you folks because of all the help and everything that you've done for us. So we thank you, and I hope you have a wonderful and a beautiful day.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Mr. Caraway.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Father, I want to say thanks to you and to the Greek Food Festival. I've been attending this festival for over 10 years, and the food is just fantastic.
Thank you.
The organization of it, all of the volunteers that you all have has just been tremendous. I encourage you, and I look forward for next year for the 100-year celebration. Unfortunately, I'm on this diet now, but I'm going to make sure that I pass it down to someone that will certainly enjoy it.
Thank you.
I will be at the festival again this year, and I just want to say thank you all, the organizers, and say congratulations. To those little kids up here that just walked in, what school are they from? Doggone it, that's where I went to school, was St. Anthony. All right, well, we want to welcome you all to the Dallas City Council, okay? St. Anthony! Sister Clement was my second grade teacher, so we'll see you there. Thank you, Mr.
You got some more people want to talk to you.
Mr. Clement, thank you.
Thank you, Father Chris, and I want to thank the Greek Orthodox Church for providing these goodies and really encourage everybody to go to this Greek Food Festival. The Greek Orthodox Church is proudly situated in District 11. So excited to have y'all there. And it really is a great example of how there's so much wonderful culture in our city, and all these cultural events are open to everybody. So you get to experience a little bit of everything. This is kind of the season of festivals, and the Greek Food Fest is certainly one of the top ones that starts this year. So thanks for being here, and thanks for all you do for our community.
Well, thank you so very much. We appreciate everything that you do, and we enjoy working with you and doing what we can for your end of all the work that you all do. Thank you so very much. Have a great day, everybody.
Wait, Father.
Oh, one more. Let's get back one of them.
Okay.
I want to also thank you for all the Greek Orthodox Church does for our city. You're a big asset to our city. And my grandfather always went to the church down on Swiss.
Oh.
We all were on Swiss. So he was there until he passed away. So thank you guys. I want to also thank Tina and Panis for all she does for the community, the Greek community. You all do a great job, and you're an asset to the city of Dallas. Thanks for all you do.
Well, thank you. And again, a lot of what we do, we couldn't have done it without your help also. So all of your the council's help has been great with us. So we thank you very much.
You're
for that.
A great community.
Thank you. Y'all have a beautiful and a wonderful day.
So sorry. Rosa?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. We're going to now move to your morning speakers. Your first five registered speakers are Richard Sheridan, William Hopkins, Carter Gee, Sabrina Branham, and Sandra Crenshaw. I will first recite the speaker guidelines. Speakers must observe the same rules of propriety, decorum, and good conduct applicable to members of the City Council. Any person making personal, impertinent, profane, or slanderous remarks will be removed from the session of the City Council meeting. Individuals are allowed 2 minutes to speak. Please state your name and address for the record, as well as face to the topic that you registered for. And you do have 3 minutes to speak. Address your comments to Mayor Adkins. The first speaker.
Good morning, Mayor and City Council. Richard Sheridan, 11301 Dennis Road, Dallas, Texas. Here to speak about racism, fluoridation, and lead poisoning. To begin, my definition of racism is one race maintaining an economic advantage over another race using various methods to control the other race. First, there was the Willie Lynch psychological control method, then came the Jim Crow laws, and today we have a combination of these and other ways to control the black minority community. This year, the city, recognizing the social and economic issues that racism presents, had a few racism forums, conversations on race. What are the signs of racism? Some signs of racism in Dallas include disproportional blight in one community over the other. In Dallas, black community, we see many slum areas, downright ugly and depressing communities. We see higher crime, black men being incarcerated 5 times more often than whites, and we see unarmed black men shot by the police. I could go on. What does racism have to do with fluoridation and lead poisoning? They are both aspects of racism. If we look at the top 10 cities in the United States that fluoridate, with a combined population of 22 million people, the average minority population, the non-white population, is 61%. Dallas has a 65% minority population. In the past 6 months, there have been many very articulate people speaking before the city council about the adverse effects of fluoridation of public water supplies. One speaker was an internationally recognized expert on the adverse effects of fluoridation, stating, number one, the basic fact that fluoridation of drinking water is relatively ineffective in preventing tooth decay. Fluoride toothpaste is much more effective in maintaining good dental hygiene, and it's pretty much in every toothpaste you can buy on the shelf today. Then he went on to say that fluoride is a poison used to kill rats and insects. Fluoride has both acute and chronic health impacts. It's not good. It's not good. Parkland Hospital won't acknowledge the thousands of deaths from the lead poisoning from 50 years of operation of the RSR lead smelter in West Dallas. The EPA has virtually ignored the public health aspect of the West Dallas Lead Contamination Superfund, and both the Dallas City Council and Commissioner's Court refuse to admit the problem. However, with the real experience of William Hopkins, who has come before you for 13 years at least, Louis Sepulveda, Gwayne Wooten, God bless you, Gwayne, Otis Fagan, Adiah and Smith, to name just a few, all say that lead poisoning has caused in the order of 10,000 deaths and the suffering, disability, and slow death of about 15,000 present and former West Dallas residents. The West Dallas Superfund is the biggest case of environmental racism in Dallas history. White civic leaders knew then, and they know now, that many blacks died from lead poisoning, but their racism let it happen. In conclusion, keep it up, white Dallas. Dallas metaphor by the golf course. There lie the biggest golf call in the United States of America. Here lie, everywhere lie, E-I-E-I, oh no, here's another one. So keep it up, white Dallas and the minority politicians who serve the white man. Keep it up. He's not here. Keep it up. Disgracing our community, calling for Nelson Mandela from you, Street.
Thank you very much.
Keep it up.
Thank you very much,
Carol.
Thank you.
Your next speaker, William Hopkins. Mr. Hopkins is going to be followed by Carter G., Sabrina Brennan, and Sandra Crenshaw.
My name is William Hopkins. Tanya, do y'all have the lead lawsuit that they handed out to you? Do everybody have it? They handed it to everybody? Okay. Everybody had the lead lawsuit where the city of Dallas and the state of Texas sued the IRS lead smelter. The first sheet of paper they gave you, Tanelle, is what the city said was telling the people in West Dallas that the city wasn't involved, that it was between some lawyers and the people in West Dallas, and the city wasn't involved into the RSR lawsuit. They weren't involved into the suing of the RSR lawsuit, the settlement. So the first sheet, the city said they weren't involved in the RSR settlement lawsuit. The next page, Tanelle, is where the city of Dallas and the state of Texas sued the RSR company. It was in 1981, Ronald Reagan and after him it was George Bush. They were so white and racist that they let the people die in West Dallas. And they paid the city councilmen, they paid the county judges, they paid the county commissioners, they paid Parkland, they paid the media not to tell it. Fred Byron and Bud, Lisa Blue, Dorothy Bud, and Russell Bud paid everybody not to say nothing about this lawsuit. The lawyers they were talking about was Russell Bud, Fred Byron and Bud, Russell Bud, and Dorothy Bud of their law firm. They paid the media not to say nothing. They came. So the city, after the city told the people they didn't have nothing to do with it, so the city sued Tanelle and got the money. And so the city of Dallas and the state of Texas was so white, racist, bigot, Ku Klux Klan, they let the people die in West Dallas, and they let Fred Byron and Bud Law Firm just have some of the money. The city and the state gave Fred Byron and Bud some of the money, and so Fred Byron and Bud Law Firm had the people to come to the Boys Club and not to tell nobody, don't tell the FBI, and give away about $60 million in 1985. And so they come back in 1995, Tanelle, and they went to a hotel on Marketbird, the preachers, sold us out. Everybody knew it. The media know it. Dallas Morning News know it. They wrote about the lead in Dallas Morning News December the 16th, 17th, and 18th, 2012, Tanelle. The Dallas Morning News wrote about the contamination in West Dallas in my mother's yard. My brother's in ICU right now. So I'm going to hair up and wrap this up because my mother and father already died from lead. My sister Margaret died from lead. My brother's in the ICU right now, Tanelle. The lead is killing us. I've been down here about almost 20 years, Tanelle, begging these white people, begging the blacks. You're not going to say nothing. You black. You're going to let the people die, Tanelle, because this Fred Byron and Bud Law Firm is paying you. Want to be with the white people so close that you will let the people die, and you're not going to say nothing, Tanelle. Nobody. Everybody got this lawsuit. Everybody around this horseshoe. Everybody got it, Tanelle, but you're going to let the people
thank
die.
Thank you very much.
And Fred Byron and Bud probably paying you.
Thank you very much.
Can I get it 1 minute? Can Miss Alonzo vote for me a minute? She in West Dallas. People dying in West Dallas. Can Miss Alonzo vote for me a minute?
Up. Thank you very much.
Can Miss Alonzo vote for me a minute?
Your time is up. Thank you.
Your next speaker, Carter G. Mr. G will be followed by Sabrina Brennan and Sandra Crenshaw.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen of the City Council. My name is Carter Jeb, 8650 Southwestern Boulevard, Dallas, Texas. I'm here to speak the truth about the Uber deception. Truth is a rare commodity these days. In a world filled with opinions, lies, and deceit, the truth is often overlooked, ignored, and sometimes avoided entirely. Relative truth has become a fixation in our society and is no different for those who are religious or spiritual. For many, it has become their unsanctified, comforting friend. Evidence and facts are and should be a friend when we are pursuing the truth, but all too often they become enemies
when one does not want to acknowledge or embrace them. Too many people react and get angry when such facts are presented to them. They refuse to hear it, and so they make a poor decision based upon incomplete information. There are currently 13 lawsuits filed against Uber in the great United States. Uber is directly involved in every aspect of our industry, yet they claim they are a tech company. When these facts and evidence are overlooked by our own representatives, then there is something terribly, terribly wrong. My question to you today, two of them, is why are you so involved in defending Uber? My second question is, 15 city council members needed years to find a scientific equation to deliver a verdict. Why? Uber has sabotaged the industry by lowering the price of luxury cars to a lower rate than the average cab. They don't own their cars, so why are they who are they competing with? I'm sorry. According to regulation, they are in violation, but you are giving them a green light to operate, not to mention UberX, they don't even have insurance. Why not simply app on, app off? Uber sabotaged the industry by lowering the price of luxury cars to a cab rate, yet wants five-star service and newer cars. And so, we need to let you know that we are not in the business of giving handouts. We are in the business to make a profit. If the rest of the city council believes the only condition to being in the business is for charity by defending and promoting Uber in the city, then that explains it all. We take that as you having no respect for those who pay their dues and complying with regulations. And you may see us as your property and nothing else. That alone is an insult to all of us in the industry. So then you want us to offer handouts to the well-to-do and the unfortunate? You may consider subsidizing the industry for us to remedy your demands. If I understand correctly, you as representatives of the public have an obligation to legislate and enforce, not neglect your duties. It has taken 3 years with the idea of reinventing the wheel, when all you had to do was enforce the rules, address this 3 years ago, and then find a solution and propose new regulation. And so I reiterate, we are here today to let you know that we are in the business of making a profit and a living, not providing handouts. Mr. Allen warned us that influence in this regard can be bought and sold. In closing, I hope you will consider our side and perhaps take a new perspective in reviewing this issue. We appreciate your role as representatives and know that you understand the importance of this industry and its workers' right to seek a living with it. Thank you for the opportunity to speak with you fine representatives today. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much.
Mr. Atkins.
Yes.
Could I ask him a question?
Yes. Ms. Jett, come back, please.
Sir?
All right, to the line.
I'm over here. Could I ask you who you're with? You kept using the word we. Are you with a certain company or are you with a certain group?
I refrain from asking any further questions. I have an expert witness to satisfy your inquiries.
All right, thank
available.
You.
Well, would you like to speak with him?
Hmm?
Would you like to speak with my witness?
Is it Mr. Neff Albert?
It is indeed.
Oh, come on, Lee.
Okay, I've heard from him. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Madam Secretary.
Your next speaker, Sabrina Brenham. Ms. Brenham is not present. Oh, I'm sorry. Ms. Brenham is not present. Sandra Crenshaw is the next speaker. Ms. Crenshaw will be followed by Jerry Russell.
The last time that I spoke about a name change before this council, my concerns remain the same today, and that is respect for the democratic process and the will of the people. My concerns are about having priorities and addressing the concerns of the people. After decades of other council members hammering out a name change process, this particular council has dismantled that process, spent a lot of money, a taxpayer's money, to change names of public facilities after living people, persons who have not been dead 2 years, without any government purpose or government interest. What I'm asking you today is to look at the fact that the citizens of this city are committed to Grow South. And all departments at this city and every action that you take must be work in that direction to make this happen. Lancaster Road is the economic destination for Southeast Oak Cliff, grounded and based in Veterans Hospital. a name change should work in that direction. Why not take this opportunity with Veterans Hospital being there and name that street Veterans Memorial Drive in tribute to the thousands of people who fought for democracy in this country, who fought for America, gave their lives, and who attend and ride that Lancaster rail to Veterans Hospital. Instead of naming it after, and I have nothing against Nelson Mandela, but most of the people that live in zip code 75216, highest poverty rate, highest crime rate, highest diabetes rate, they don't know who Nelson Mandela is, and nor do they care. But they do care about this council representing and addressing their concerns. And so let's take an example about the dark rail line. We have a link now that connects to Bishop Arts. 15 minutes of travel. When I sat on this council, we got a commitment from this city and from DART that we were going to have a trolley that was going to take people up and down to those shops. This council dismantled that, and now we have 1 hour. It takes 1 hour, runs only once an hour to go to the grocery store. Those are the kind of things that we want this council to address on the Lancaster Road corridor. So let's take care of our own first. Let's take care of our own first. I guarantee you that there's not a street in South Africa that has been named after the city of Dallas that boycotted businesses that were doing businesses with South Africa during apartheid, nor Marvin Crenshaw or Eric Moyer or Stark Taylor, Mayor Stark Taylor. There's nobody recognized over there. So let's do the right things, and let's do the right thing,
Ms. Crenshaw.
Let's not pass up this opportunity
to
name it Veterans Memorial Drive. Thank you.
Mr. Carraway.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Let me just first say a couple of things. In listening to partial of the speakers, I'm not going to get into that too much until 1 o'clock. Folks that are saying that they're concerned about wanting to name it Veterans Way, let me be real clear. There's already a street at Veterans Hospital that's named Veterans Drive. Let's be real clear with that. I'll debate that more at 1. But there's already a street named Veterans. So these misformers and misinformation, when people come down to our council lobbying before the cameras for publicity, then let's make sure that the information is accurate. Let's also make sure that the information is accurate, Mr. Mayor. Let's make sure that
Ms. Hoppins, excuse me, Mr. Carraway. Ms. Hoppins,
and we do have these kids in here seeing the behavior.
Hold on, just be quiet. Okay, just be quiet. You'll be removed.
How much longer do we have to be disrupted?
Thank you.
Now, do I start my time over, or we're going to give it to them? Now, out of respect,
will we remove him back just a minute ago? Thank you.
For the date.
Yeah.
I'll hold to the mayor institute's order. And that's the way it's going to be all day. It's going to be order. Let's make sure that the kids understand this is a part of the process that we have to go to and go through. So you're seeing it live and in living color. Let me also make it known, and let's be factual, that mayor and to the council, when other people come into City Hall and they print erroneous information and put your name on the erroneous information and go out to the public and pass it out with lies with your council name on it, unapproved and unauthorized, that is something in the future I would hope that we will take up. When a piece of paper was printed with my name on it just the other day, passed out to security, passed out to the homeless, inviting and saying that we're going to give 25 free homes, and that's what I'm doing, and then that same person can walk back in here that's been thrown out of this chamber many, many of times. That's an abuse on not just me, the council person, That's an abuse on the people that we represent. That is something that we should begin to figure out a way that we're going to take to heart and figure out how, yes, we're going to protect the citizens, but we have to be protected as well in our integrity, and we need to protect the people in which we represent. But to put a flat-out lie out there like that and to be able to get away with it and then to be able to come into this chamber and sit down and speak before this council, that is not something that I feel very comfortable with today. But now, I'm going to try to behave because I got kids here from St. Anthony, and they need to know what city government is all about, and they got smiles. And the only reason I'm behaving right now is because of you little guys. Because the future, that's what we're looking for and looking out for the future. Lastly, let me also make it known that when the dark rail that was just spoke about that's going down the center of Lancaster that disturbed all of the economic opportunity on Lancaster, the last speaker that spoke sat on the Dallas City Council and was a part of the reason that the dark rail line is running down the center of the street of Lancaster. But to come in here today and to sit up here and to try to say that it's bad, is this, it was your decision. You were on the Dallas City Council at the time. So let's be real clear that with that being said, when people come down here with misinformation and they had an opportunity to make sure that things were traveling in the right direction, they chose to be supported. Some of these same people that are down here speaking, that now people see with beer and wine throughout our community, they, along with others, were paid to be against us not having the beer and wine, but paid to lobby on behalf of it, and that is the very reason why we're dealing with those misformos now today. Some of those very things are the things that took place. So now, Mr. Mayor, I didn't call him by his name, so I expect us to go straight into city business without any rebuttal. So with that being said, I'm going to stop, but I'm going to wait till 1 o'clock.
Right.
And then I will continue at 1 o'clock.
No. Thank you. Ms. Rosa, next speaker.
Your next speaker, Jerry Russell.
No, let's see. Just said that,
thank
you. Next
speaker, Jerry Russell. Jerry Russell is not present. Naomi Reynolds, not present. Jonas Griffin is not present. That concludes your speakers this morning, Mr. Mayor.
Okay.
We're going to move now to your first voting agenda item,
okay,
and that is approval of minutes of the September 10, 2014 City Council meeting.
Move approval.
Second. Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Y'all see how awake this morning? I ask her. Next item.
Yes.
Who?
Mayor Atkins.
What? Hold on.
Oh, I'm Logan. Sorry. What? Your name,
speaker?
Please?
You'll speak or what?
No, I called three individuals. They were Jerry Russell, Naomi Reynolds, and Jonas Griffin.
No.
No. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mayor Atkins. Councilmember Davis would like to be recognized regarding agenda item number 26.
Ms. Davis.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I would like to postpone consideration of this item until October the 22nd of 2014.
Okay.
It's item number 26.
Somebody second? Okay. All in favor?
It's on the consent agenda.
Okay. Any opposed? Aye, carry. Next item. Oh. Her name, I don't know. You please punch me. Okay. You got a question?
I just for discussion, ma'am. So, is this going to create any issue with moving forward, Ms. Davis?
No, it will not.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you. We move now to consideration of your consent agenda. Your consent agenda consists of agenda items number 2 through 43 and addendum items 1 through 10. Councilmember Kingston has pulled agenda item number 5, number 19, addendum 2, addendum 9, and addendum 10. Agenda item number 16 was deferred in accordance to the City Council Rules of Procedure. Agenda item number 26 was just recently deferred. And agenda item number 40, I'm sorry, that concludes the items removed from the consent agenda. Therefore, you have for your consideration agenda items number 2 through 4, 6 through 15, 17 through 18, 20 through 25, 27 through 43, addendum item 1, addendum items 3 through 5, and through 8.
Yes, Madam Chair.
Your consent agenda will need a motion to approve, Mr. Mayor.
Question, Mr. Medrano.
Turn your mic on, Alan. Turn your mic on. The conflict, is it item 12 for me? Or not yet?
No, not yet.
Okay.
Can I get a motion?
Move approval.
Second. Okay, all in favor? In opposed, aye. Carries next. Item.
Thank you. We move now to agenda item number 5. Agenda item number 5 is authorize a consultant contract on economic value of parks and benchmarking study for Park and Recreation, HR and Day Advisors, Inc., most advantageous proposer of two, not to exceed $180,000. Councilmember Kingston, pull the item.
Mr. Kingston?
I have some questions, Mr. Mayor.
Okay.
Will this study include all the parkland in the city?
Yes, sir. This study will encompass the entire park system, including lands in the Trinity.
Okay, that's exactly where I was going. We talked a little bit about this, and you were nice enough to give me the Seattle study, which I thought was really good. And Trust for Public Land is going to be participating in this?
They're a sub-consultant to the primary consultant, HR&A. So they did the Seattle study, as you know, and they'll be a sub-consultant.
Okay. I think it's a great idea. We need to understand what we have. I'm just very curious about how they're going to deal with the value of the land inside the levees of the Trinity, whether it's going to have a big honking road in it or not. I mean, the value is either going to be a terrific park or this, you know, this sewer where we drive our cars. And those are going to be two very different values. Do you know how they're going to deal with that?
We've not had any discussion with them on that yet, but it should be a topic for us that we need to resolve and work through.
If I can be of help, I'd love to help on that. Thanks, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. That's a motion, Ms. Kingston. Anybody make a motion?
I so move to approve this item.
Second.
All in favor? In opposed? Aye. Carries. Next item.
Next item is agenda item number 19, authorized number 1, the Dallas Police Department to receive funds in the amount of $600,000 from various federal and state law enforcement agencies to be used for overtime for investigative services for fiscal year 2014-15. Number 2, a city contribution of Pension and Federal Insurance Contributions Act costs in the amount of $173,700. And number 3, execution of the grant agreement. Councilmember Kingston, pull the item.
Mr. Kingston.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Chief was nice enough to talk with me the other day about why he thinks this is important, and I think what we have is a difference of opinion on this. We're struggling every year to figure out how to get enough uniforms into the neighborhoods to do community policing, arrest burglars of motor vehicles, protect children in crosswalks. I mean, you know, all this stuff that keeps us safe. And Chief, it's only right that you get to have your say as well, but I just don't see the value of these federal task force that draw our police away from our community policing priorities to the point that we now then have to apply the feds to get funding for their overtime. I mean, this just seems, it seems like we're out of control of our own officers.
The value, just more specifically, is those task force seized $4 million last year, and we're on pace to seize another $4 million that go into our coffers that buffer the general fund in paying out this overtime. And the other item we have today is that complication of those funds that these task force contribute to in the tune of $4 million is going to purchase tasers. And so I would say the value is first monetary value, but there's also a value those task force arrest over 500 people a year, and those are Dallas criminals that keep our cities and neighborhoods safe. So,
well, I mean, then we're back to the question, Chief. If they're Dallas criminals, then why aren't we focused on them already? Why does it take a federal task force?
There's such a demand for our officers' time that we have to collaborate with our law enforcement partners in the area. That includes our federal partners, but we also collaborate with our state partners, and not just on arrest and seizing money, but also on sharing information. And I think sharing the information is the biggest benefit, specific to the climate today with terrorism back in the forefront. Our Joint Terrorism Task Force receives information from the federal government that help keep this city safe. And so there's not just money, not just arrest, but also information that we share. And it's all important. By collaborating, it creates a force multiplier for that information sharing and those arrests and those seizures.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor.
LaSalle.
Chief, help me elaborate on what you've talked about. We're talking about the economic value to us, but help elaborate and so that maybe we understand, because to me it's crystal clear. I know in my district that when I collaborate with the nonprofits, when I collaborate with the faith-based community, I collaborate with the staff here at City Hall, and I get them all pulling in the same direction for the common good of my people, it seems to work, because now I think the Bible says the harvest is great and the workers are few. And the more workers we can get working in the same direction, seems to be that's the real value of this, the contacts that come in to play, the knowledge that we're working with these other organizations, not against them, but working with them for the common good of our people. Does that have anything, what I just said, anything to do with working with these other organizations? Is there any that benefit also there?
Yes, and another example is much of our criminality has at its root cause the drug market. And we collaborate with the Drug Enforcement Agency and the FBI on disrupting the supply of drugs to our city. And without that collaboration, we wouldn't have information, nor would we have the type of arrest that will disrupt what happens in our neighborhood. And so through collaboration, our neighborhoods are safer. Of course, it's a downstream argument. You know, without the supplier, without the middleman or the upper level supplier, you don't have the drug houses that all of us see in our districts. And so disrupting the supplier prevents crimes from happening in our neighborhood. And without that collaboration, we wouldn't have the success we've had over these last 11 years of reducing crime on consecutive years.
So everyone has a role, whether it's the government, the county, city, we all have a role and we all work together. Yes. And I guess, seems like since I've been on council, that seems to have been working. I know that the last 10 years, crime in my district's down by 48%.
Right, and every district is experiencing the same crime reduction these last 11 years, but it's the most significant crime reduction in Dallas on record these last 11 years.
That's throughout the United States, too, isn't it?
And we lead every major city in the country with that reduction,
and
more than any other city.
And it's through partnerships.
It's through collaboration, yes.
Through partnerships that's caused this to happen. Okay. Well, I just want to make sure I was on track. Thank you, Chief.
Is that a motion, Mr. Allen?
That is a motion.
Do I have a second? All in favor?
Aye.
And opposed? Aye. Carried. Next item.
Thank you. We move now to addendum item number 2. Authorize number 1, a 5-year acquisition agreement for the purchase, maintenance, and warranty of electronic control weapons, related equipment, and training for police. Taser International, Inc., in the amount of $2,390,063, sole source. Number 2, the acquisition for the purchase of the electronic control weapons and related equipment for police, which results in a total expenditure of $2,505,232 for actions 1 and 2, Municipal Asset Management, Inc. And number three, a five-year master agreement for the purchase of electronic control weapons and related equipment, Taser International, Inc., in the amount of $1,283,564, sole source, total not to exceed $3,788,796. Councilmember Kingston, pull the item.
Councilman Kingston.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Chief, I thought it would be good to have you explain this item because I think the association has come to several of us to complain that the department's current policy on taser use renders the tasers ineffective. You're fixing that essentially, right?
Very carefully, and we're working with the community to expand the officer's opportunity to use tasers, but we need to be careful. The City of Portland's Police Department just recently went under a Department of Justice consent decree because of their overuse of taser. And so we have to find balance. We'll move in a direction with our taser use policy where officers will have the opportunity to use it where they currently can't because of the restriction. And let me just explain why we're so strict. We want to have one of the strictest taser use policies currently because when we initially bought taser in 07, 08, we didn't really feel comfortable with the safety features of the taser. And throughout the country at that time, there were deaths associated with taser use. And so we didn't want to create more litigation because of the taser use then. This current taser purchase is a smart taser. There are safety features that mitigate some of the things we saw in 07, 08 with some of the deaths, and we believe it's a much safer product that we're purchasing today and that we can move in a direction in our policy where officers will have more of an opportunity to use taser without having to fight people with their fists. But at the same time, we need to balance that with not going so far with taser use that we overuse taser and now we have civil litigation because we have overuse of taser. I would just interject also to be careful with some of the union's interjections on policy because, you know, they'll get you sued and then they'll want a pay raise at the same time. So just be careful.
Chief, you were doing so good there for a minute. And you had to kick them right at the end.
I had too much coffee today.
Can we remove that from the record? We'll fix that in post.
Okay. Well, I think you're doing the right thing here, Chief. I appreciate it. Move to approve.
Thank you.
That's Mr. Caraway.
Thank you, Chief. Don't go nowhere. Chief, those are called tire tracks. But you ran over 15 times. Chief, let me ask you something, and this is just for my own edification, and I support this amendment here. One, how many, do we have a count of how many times officers use the taser?
We do.
And so
I don't have it with me, but I can get that information to you. We track all of our taser use.
Okay, because I would just like to see that, to just know. I mean, if it's 100 times or 200 times or 5,000 times.
Okay.
Because I guess in my opinion, I want us to make sure that we have all the options in our toolbox to use. But if it's used fewer times, then I'm wondering if we have to spend so much. I'm going to move this, but I'm just wanting to put that out there
okay.
So I can get my own information. Next, as related to the confiscated funds of
yes.
$2.5 million, is it that what policy could the police department come up with? Because some of these confiscated monies come from drug houses.
They do. The majority do.
So the majority of them comes from drug houses.
Yes.
So I'm segueing and going back in. I'll ask our public safety chair, Mr. Cadane, to let's please address this at another time. But since it's coming from a drug house, and the drug house is identified, and we've confiscated the money from the drug house, can we not confiscate the drug house, the property itself, and cannot some of this money go into demolition to tear down the very drug house we confiscated the money out of so that we can tear down the drug house as well and get rid of it, the crime out of the community?
I suppose we could look at that. Of course, we just approved the budget, and so the
okay.
So next year's confiscations have been dedicated. But in future years, we can look at
but
it's also a legal question on whether or not we can get that done as well. So I don't want to completely give you
okay.
the wrong impression about how we proceed
AC,
there.
AC wanted that's something.
And the chief was headed in the direction I was going. Those
are related, but they're also separate in terms of a process to do the drug enforcement is going to be separate than the enforcement on the house in terms of it,
right.
You know, it's our ability to go and knock it down. Now, in essence, the funds that are being collected there does help our overall general fund budget in terms of taking off some of the pressure on police department funding needs.
Right.
And so indirectly, it frees up some money for us to be having some for demolition, et cetera. So while there is a connection, it's one that is a series of different steps.
Okay, so can we put this for discussion futuristically? What I would like to see, when we go in and confiscate a drug house, or well, we confiscate the drug, we confiscate the money, that we come up with some form of a method to where that house is tagged, whether the demolition money comes from these confiscated funds, but more importantly, we identify the house and we tear the house down, you know, take the house away and tear it down. And then we get rid of the deal. And then property owners from that point forward would be more careful to whom they are renting properties to. Because it is not a fact that the drug dealers come in and will pay the property owner, if the house is worth $400 a month, would pay the property owner $1,500 in cash. Is that kind of...
Drug dealers will overpay, but I just want to make sure I emphasize the legal aspect of this. Texas is a very strong property rights state.
Right.
To confiscate a home takes quite a bit of legal process.
But now,
so it's not an easy step to connect the property owner with the drug transaction.
Now, what about will we not confiscate a car if a car had 8 pounds of cocaine in it? Don't we?
It's a much easier process to confiscate vehicles, and we do that all the time. It's much more of a difficult step to confiscate the house because of Texas being a very strong property rights state.
So what do we need to do, Chief?
We'll get with the attorney, and we'll have some discussions, and we'll circle back to you and explain what we can do and what we can't do.
Is this something we need to deal with in Austin? Is this something that the legislators need to deal with?
That may be part of it, but let us come back to you and have a discussion with the legal department, with Warren's staff, and we'll bring back our discussion points with you on what we can and can't do.
And I'm going to close, Mr. Mayor. Thank you for allowing me this time. But as it was said today, that I have in my district 300 churches and all of this that was said publicly, and I have all these crack houses, I don't have a lot of time. I have to get rid of them. And what I'd like to instruct our city manager to do is figure out a way how we can confiscate the house without a bunch of rhetoric. And to the lawyer, Mr. Warren Ernest, you all get on this, and let's get on it immediately. What I would like to see expeditiously is a way how we can wade through this water, confiscate a drug house that was found with drugs, as we do with cars and as we do with other properties. That moves us forward. That reduces crime. That cleans up the neighborhood. That makes it safe for children and folks to play. That stops all of the rhetoric. That stops all of the police having to have to go to the same house over and over if we send the signal. If we choose not to send it and send it now, then we will be in more trouble with procrastination. So I'm asking city manager and the city attorney, along with chief, and to give me a report and let me try to see how we can help expedite this thing. It's election time, so right now we need to be talking to Abbott and Wendy Davis about this as well, putting it on their plate publicly so that we can keep our communities a little bit safer and give you all the help that you need to have. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Callahan. Yeah, thank you, Mayor. Just a couple of quick questions, Chief, and thank you for coming down. Mm-hmm. How many officers, patrol officers, actually, or percentage have tasers at this point?
We have over 2,000 officers in patrol, and we have about 700 tasers.
700.
Of the old taser, this procurement will purchase 2,000 tasers. Each officer in patrol will have a taser.
So that is the immediate goal. So
yes.
How long will this take to implement once we...
We will start implementing this in next month.
Next
so
month.
It's a training process with a new taser, new type of taser. So next month, a group of officers will start the training process, get their taser. So every month over the next 3 or 4 months, we'll be implementing and issuing training officers on tasers. So by the early next year, all of our patrol officers will have a taser.
So within 6 months, full implementation?
Three and a half months.
Okay.
Three and a half months.
And will all the old tasers be phased out?
Yes. Okay. We're actually taking them out of our patrol capacity, and all the new tasers will be what the whole department will have.
And will there be part of the metrics that each time they're used, it'd be like drawing a weapon and discharging a weapon?
Yes, we collect data on every use of force, which will include taser.
Okay, excellent. Thank you.
Yeah. Ms. Davis?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Chief Brown, let me ask you, with the new tasers, when you train your officer, will they be hitting a certain body part of the body?
Yes. Taser recommends that the taser use be the center part of the body, the torso, not the head or lower, but the torso. That's part of the training process. Taser shoots out a prong, and so the prong should be directed toward the center of the body, the torso.
Okay, so each officer will be trained where that is on the body.
Yes.
And if they do other than that area, then what happens to that particular officer?
Well, that's a good question. In the smart taser, it actually collects data. So you can download the actual use of the taser and know whether prongs struck. If they didn't strike the taser, then you can put that officer back in training. If for some reason the prongs didn't hit their target, or if the electrical charge didn't do debilitate the person, we can use data from the taser itself, download that information, creates a printout on all those things you brought up, along with other data that we can, again, train that officer and train the department on that information.
And the taser will be used in place of perhaps gun violence as much from the officer?
Yes, it's a less lethal tool that the officer will have instead of having to get in physical altercations, having physical fights with suspects. We will use a taser. And just remember, we're also moving toward body cameras, and so the taser use will be caught on camera at some point as well.
And then my last question, the medical condition of the taser, it doesn't cause a heart attack or anything?
That is, you hit the nail right on the head. People with pre-existing medical conditions, say heart problems, congestive heart failure, the taser use could be lethal for those types of folks. And that's where the policy comes into play. You know, information about potential suspects, we need to ask those questions when we're on the phone, responding to the call, their pre-existing medical conditions, things that we do prior to our interaction with suspects to try to mitigate the taser causing a death. But pre-existing medical conditions do have an effect on the lethality of using a taser.
So the first thing you want your officers to do is to use the taser first before reacting to the gun.
Before they use a gun and before they have to get into a physical fight with suspects.
Okay. Thank you.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor? And opposed? I ask Karen. Next item.
Addendum item number 9 is authorized acquisition from Dallas Arboretum and Botanical Society, Inc. of approximately 7,500 square feet of land, improved with a vacant building located near the intersection of Garland Road and Templemore Drive for Dallas Arboretum and Botanical Society. 8626 Garland Road Project, not to exceed $90,800. Councilmember Houston, pull the item.
Mayor, can we take 9 and 10 together?
Yes.
Would there be a problem with that?
No. You can look for the same thing.
Okay.
Addendum item.
We'll pull together, right?
Yeah.
So yes, can we both on in, Madam Secretary?
Thank you. Addendum item number 10 is authorized acquisition from Dallas Arboretum and Botanical Society, Inc. of approximately 7,500 square feet of land, improved with a vacant building located near the intersection of Garland Road and Temple Moore Drive for Dallas Arboretum and Botanical Society, 8630 Garland Road Project, not to exceed $94,000. Councilmember Kingston also pulled the item.
Mr. Kingston.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Willis, the reason I pulled this, we had some discussion about it, is that I was looking at the parking study for the Arboretum, and with the completion of the garage that they have underway, they're essentially going to be fully parked for the foreseeable future. I mean, they're going to have less than 10 days a year where they exceed the amount of parking spaces that they own, not just other spaces on Garland. And so these items secure more property on Garland Road for future parking?
Mr. Kingston, is the intent just for long-term addressing the parking needs long-term of the Arboretum, well beyond the current garage is scheduled to finish in November. So I think they're looking to the future.
Well, I'm very concerned about how they're looking to the future. If they're projecting that they're only going to have maybe 10 days a year where they exceed the parking they already have underway, it seems like a very damaging thing from an economic development standpoint to park other parcels along Garland Road in the city's inventory off of the tax rolls and controlled by us, I guess, fantastic real estate investors that we are. I just don't understand why we would do this if it's 10 days a year where they need a few extra spaces so that they can get up and down Garland Road. This is one of the hottest development corridors in the city of Dallas right now, and you were nice enough to bring me the agreement between the city and the Arboretum, which required, I was very shocked to find this out, it requires the city to reimburse the Arboretum for properties that they identify and purchase, and then we pay them back, park the properties off of the tax rolls to sit there for nobody knows how long, and nobody really knows for what purpose. This is a really weird agreement. How did this come about?
The current property that the parking garage is currently under construction, Councilman, was purchased with this same methodology, city and Arboretum funding in 2002, so that's 12 years ago. And so here we are 11 years later now building the garage to meet their current parking demand. I think that's sort of the just kind of strategic thinking, looking ahead 10 or 15 years in the future when the Arboretum's attendance and parking demand continues to inch up. Yes, it's true that for 10 days projected for this coming year, we will only 10 days will be demand for the on-site parking, which is about 1,250, and the new parking garage, 1,200, will exceed that. That's true.
Well, let me correct one thing. When I'm saying 10 days a year, that's their projection for 2022. Next year, it's only predicted to be 4 days. The Arboretum is an absolute gem. We want to support any long-term needs it has, however we need to do it. But their own data do not support this approach. And this agreement, I want to be real clear. Let's be very careful about agreements that make land acquisition decisions somebody else's authority and then puts the city on the hook for paying for it. I want the Arboretum to be successful until I'm long gone from Dallas. It's such a nice place, but parking, having prime spots on Garland Road lay fallow and off of the tax rolls is not the same thing as accounting for the long-term needs of the Arboretum. So I can't support this item. Thanks, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Cadain.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. First, I'd like to say that, in my opinion, we do need this item. This will complete our parking at the Arboretum, which has been troubled as long as I can remember, is the parking situation. These lots over here could also be used for storage at some point. They could also be used for developing plants and hothouses at certain points where we have to move off the premises to do this. So I see more use for this property than that, and we don't know that it won't take be used more than 10 days. We don't know that. We don't know what's going to happen out there. So things may progress that we do need it and need it immediately. But this will complete it, and this will complete our parking situation for the Arboretum. And it, in my opinion, it's very necessary to get these two pieces of property. And we talk about the tax rolls, putting them on the tax rolls. These properties together are only worth $1,000 on the tax rolls. That's all we're getting out of them. So, and I don't think they're large enough to put anything that would extend that tax that much. So I think we do need it. I think our feasibility study was done. This will actually complete that, make us whole. We need to get that property in. So I'd like to make a motion that we move both of these forward just as they're written and see us get complete out there. Thank you.
Mr. Simon.
Thank you, Mayor. Willis, would you remind the council of how the Arboretum worked carefully with the neighborhood directly adjacent there to address the parking concerns that they had and how this is part of that resolution?
Yep. The Arboretum, several years ago, formed a group called the Arboretum Advisory Committee, and they meet three or four times a year. In addition, there's constantly publicizing plans and discussions on not only what's going on inside the grounds but outside the grounds. So the parking garage, as an example, was presented to the community over a period of time, discussed, and also the idea of them continuing to acquire land along Garland Road. And I should say that these are the land acquisition has only occurred with a willing seller. There's never been any contemplation of eminent domain at all in any of these discussions. So I think the Arboretum has had a lot of communications with the surrounding neighborhood and community over the years. There's to make them aware of all of their plans and future projects.
Yeah, I appreciate that very much. I appreciate the hard work of the Arboretum. We have some representatives here. The facility has become so popular, and I think we're probably approaching 1 million visitors a year there, pretty close. I always tease them. I say the zoo's also about 1 million a year. We're going to see who crosses that line first. The Arboretum has made really good efforts to work with the neighborhood there to address the parking and the traffic issues there, have paid for things like buffering turn lanes. As we all know, a garage is very expensive and land acquisition is expensive. And I really would like to encourage my fellow council members to support this effort for them to continue to just work with the neighborhood, but still be a tremendous asset for the city that's really internationally renowned. And people come to visit from all over the world to see this. And it's, of course, on the beautiful shores of White Rock Lake. So thank you for your hard work, and look forward to passing this and continuing to be out there every Thursday night in the spring and in the fall. Thank you.
Mr. Caraway.
Thank you, Mr. You know, every time, and I've been dealing with this and this particular person for many years while I was on the park board as well, but every time Mayor Brenniger comes around, Mayor, you know where I stand. And in RL, we got to be very respectful and appreciative of the Arboretum, your sister, and everybody connected with it. I can kind of reflect on a few things. First, I'm listening and I hear my colleague, Ms. Kingston, and I'm glad that he's raising some of those concerns that he has. However, you know, when you look at Texas OU when they come to the Cotton Bowl, it's a one-time event, and Grambling and Prairie View when they come to the Cotton Bowl is a one-time event, and it's expanded parking. And we have to have those types of opportunities to accommodate those two events. The two most major events, Texas OU and Grambling Prairie View, in which is this weekend, Saturday, kickoff time is at 4 o'clock. Let's be real clear. So everybody make sure you come there. And But at the end of the day, I feel that the parking garage is a futuristic move that will grow as the Arboretum continue to grow, so that new events that may grow beyond the bounds of where they are today will have the right amount of parking and accommodations that can handle the growth of the Arboretum. You all do just a fantastic job there. I think it's important that we continue the vision and that we look ahead. I think it's also important that we understand where my colleague is saying, and he makes very good points. But at the same token, we kind of in the process of going and growing, and who knows what is going to happen one Thursday night when you all have Beyonce out at the Arboretum. You still will not have enough parking, but with this garage, you will. So I think we're moving in the right direction. I'm going to be supportive of it, of course, but I just want to commend you all for what you do, and would encourage you, that school behind you, St. Anthony, let's start reaching out even more to the kids and to the future in the southern sector, in which you all do, to make sure that they have a chance to come to the beautiful Arboretum and experience the great things that are there. And you already do this. I'm just saying, let's just reach out a little bit more and expose them to even some greater heights. So thank you, Mary. Thank you, Aria. Thank you to the Arboretum for all that you do.
Mr. Callahan.
Yeah, thank you, Mayor. And Mary, you've done a great job out there. And I was there the other night seeing the Rory Myers children thing, and I knew it was great, but it blew me totally away how really fantastic that place is. And so I want to thank you all for all of that. I'm going to take a little bit different twist, though. I mean, I think Councilman Kingston raises some very valid points. You know, when we continue to take land off the tax rolls, there's only so many square feet of land that is near the Arboretum that can be used for commercial or retail purposes to provide services in that neighborhood. But I do recognize that the neighborhood has vetted this. They've been in support of that. The parking garage has been approved, all that. But and I am going to support this item, but I want to drill down on what Councilman Kingston had to say because it's valid. As we go forward in 2025, the next council, then they're going to be talking about, golly, we need more parking for the Arboretum. But we need to look globally about how to solve this problem. And we need to be looking at rubber wheel trolleys going around Garland Road and in other parts of that to access that park. We need to consider shuttles like the Byron Nelson Golf Tournament. If they can do it, the Arboretum can do it. Maybe even consider an addition to the White Rock Station line to get the train somewhere down into the White Rock Park so they can actually drop visitors off there. But we've got to look at a way to do this without continually building more parking garages, taking more land, because they already have a great deal of parking on surface there. And we've seen the battle with Winfrey Point and all that stuff, and as that was short of a bloodletting, we don't want to go there anymore. But let's find a way to cure our long-term problems. But mass transit in some way, I think, is going to be the answer to that. I don't know exactly what it's going to look like, but we've got to find a better way without just continually taking lots, because, again, there's only so much, you know, land that's there available. So thank you.
Jerry?
It's a hard situation, hard from the standpoint that anytime you have something that's visionary, kind of takes a while to get your head around, it seems like. At the end of the day, we're looking at 15,000 square feet, and we're looking at $183,000. AC, if I'm doing this right, you take $183,000, divide by 100, times 0.797, that's what the city gets back, $1,466 a year. $1,466 a year. 15,000 square feet, $1,466 a year. And we're talking about maybe we ought to do something for that $1,466 a year. If you go to TripAdvisor, which is one of the largest websites that people go through around the world to look up facilities and such,
They rank the Arboretum as the number two most attraction in the city of Dallas. The Arboretum. The Arboretum. One of the prizes that we got. Almost 1 million people a year go to the Arboretum. Kids. And I'm looking and talking about $1,466. I thank God we have people like Mary that has the vision to look down the road. I look forward to the day when we have the same people in the, maybe the neighborhoods that look to people like Mary for her visionary, and they decide to work together instead of against each other and want to fight everything that comes along. Just like these two parcels of land, I guarantee you, you talk about a fight, somebody wants to put something nice on those two pieces of land, that whole neighborhood would go ballistic. They're going to fight you instead of wanting to work for the benefit. That's what this conversation is about. It's what we're having today. It's really the visionary aspect of it, about this Arboretum, a true gem that we have, one of the highest numbers of folks that attend. And it's away from the city. It's not even in the downtown area. So, again, when we talk about 15,000 square feet, $1,466 tax dollars that's going to be taken off the list, and then we flip it. How much is the economic benefit of the Arboretum at this time?
For 2013, the economic impact without the construction of the children's garden or the garage, the economic impact was, and that includes direct, indirect, induced, et cetera, was about $61 million.
So economic benefit, $61 million. And that kind of helps when we want to help with our libraries and arts and everything else. And quite frankly, just the atmosphere of what draws people to Dallas and quite frankly, quality of life for our people. So I'm very supportive of this. And I'll say again, because I cannot say enough about the visionary abilities and just what a class lady, Mary, that you are. And I just wish, as always, that people could come together and work together for the common good, because with the visionaries and the donors, what they could literally do and even improve that whole area out there. But you have to work together and want to work together. But so I support this really 1,000%. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Greer.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. And Willis, in the comments, I've heard a lot about this being part of a neighborhood compromise. Could you tell me which neighborhood groups that the sale was discussed with?
Yes, sir. I do have a list here. Little Forest Hills, which is the one right across the street where the parking garage is being built now. Forest Hills, or Big Forest Hills, as it's called. For the Love of the Lake, Gastonwood, Coronado, Emerald Isle, Garland Road Division, Plan, Casa Linda, and other user groups of the lake. Runners, environmentalists.
Okay, so your department, the Dallas Parks Department, went out and talked to these various neighborhood groups?
No, sir. These are conversations that have been hosted by the Arboretum through their community advisory council meetings.
Were you present, or did the city of Dallas have a representative?
We may have had staff there. I don't know for sure.
Okay. Was this then part of a bigger compromise? A part of the part when we had the big issue with the parking garage? Were these? So on this, were these lots part of the parking garage compromise?
Were they compromised?
Were they part of that compromise? Because there's a lot of discussion back when we had the parking garage issue. There was some opposition where it was going to go and all that. Were these lots part of that discussion?
The community was made aware of the Arboretum's continued interest in purchasing land along Garland Road as it became available for future parking. Does that answer your question?
Not really.
I'm sorry.
There was, as you may remember, there was some controversy about the parking garage. Do you recall that?
Well, there was controversy about Winfrey Point.
I remember the Winfrey Point, but also the parking garage, where it was going to go, funding it. We had several votes, lots of discussion about it.
I'm sorry, I'm not very familiar with the controversy on the garage itself, as opposed to Winfrey Point.
Okay, I remember the Winfrey Point one. So this is just a standalone item. It's not related to Winfrey Point. It's not related to the parking garage.
Correct.
Then, just for the future, I think it would be good for the City of Dallas if there's going to be a conversation requiring the City of Dallas to take action, and there's going to be meetings getting some type of neighborhood input, that we have some representative or someone at that, so we can answer questions and get the direction.
Councilman, if we have not been at those meetings, I'll make sure that we are.
We need someone here when the item comes up is ready to talk about it, because if not, it's as if we weren't there to the council.
Got it.
That would be a good way to move forward, so then we would know, since this requires council action. Thank you.
Ms. Gates.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I just had a question. I was on the Google Maps to try to determine exactly where this property is. Is it next to the current parking garage? Is it on that side of Garland Road?
Let's see. These are is a former wood frame house that's next to the wood pile property, I believe. It used to be a garden store. And then the other one is, let's see.
So they're immediately adjacent to Arboretum property, or is that not?
I'm going to have to ask my assistant director to get that are adjacent to the parking garage property. They are. Okay.
Okay. Well, I'll be supportive of this. I know, Mr. Cadet, you've looked into it, and I feel like it's probably a pretty rare opportunity that you get a small piece of land like this available, you know, adjacent to the city asset like the Arboretum is. So, and thank you. It is, I was out there on Sunday, and the garden looked as beautiful as ever. And I know my grandson's birthday is today, and he's out there as a one-year-old enjoying the pumpkins. So, it's encourage all of our citizens to make sure to make a trip to the Arboretum this fall. But thank you.
Thank you. Mary, do you want to say anything? Do you want to speak? Can we come forward, please?
The property discussed is not adjacent to the parking garage. It is across the street from the Lakeland entrance of the Dallas Arboretum. Directly across the street is a car repair shop. Next to it is a woodlot. Next to it, going north, are two small houses of about four rooms each. One was had garden accessories in it, and the other one was a barbershop. The Arboretum has been very worried about what happens to us down the road. We were we had a transportation management plan put together for the Arboretum over 30 years ago. It said that they knew that we would have festivals, but we would be bringing people up and down Garland Road by bus to get into the property. Those lots that we used to use have dried up for us. You need a large and significant lot. We were down to only one at Gaston and Garland, and that is now going to be Arboretum Village. So we are building the parking lot with a loan of $30 million that the Arboretum has taken out itself, our board. And we need it desperately, and it opens at the end of October. Even with those 1,200 spaces, we have got to make sure that we're okay in the future. So when we find willing sellers of land within walking distance to the Arboretum, this is very important. This was discussed in the Garland Road Vision, of which we were a member, and it met for over 2.5 years. We especially asked that that block across the street from the Arboretum not have any designations on it, such as what kind of retail would be there, or if indeed it was to be multi-use, because we informed all we may need it for parking in the future. So this is truly a part of that plan. Yes, it's true, when we open the garage this November and work through fulfillment of it, that we will only have a few days when we still do not have enough parking. We're not sure where we're going to draw that from to come in, and the only option is the neighborhoods. If indeed we keep growing as we are, we will surpass the numbers in the Desmond study. When they did it, they couldn't find large gardens that were growing at the rate we were. Chicago Botanic Garden, New York Botanic Garden, all of those were growing at 2% a year. We were growing at 8%. So we let the study stand, but we don't know what tomorrow will bring, and people are coming as never before. The options are terrible if you don't have parking. So when there is parking available from a willing seller, we have informed the people who are on the ACAC committee, the Arboretum Community Advisory Council. And these are just people representing each of the different groups around the Arboretum. Tell them what we're doing and what we're looking for. But to assure them again that we are not interested in eminent domain and we are not interested in coming into the neighborhoods. We're trying to protect the neighborhoods at all times. And if we don't have parking and we have buses from long distances, many people won't ride the bus. They'll just park in the neighborhood and say they live there and walk on over. So it's kind of a catch-22. This property isn't a big property, but we need as much property as we can find in the future that would be nearby. Right. But more importantly, we need to let people know about it and vote on it. This was money that was set aside in a previous bond issue for land purchase. So it had to vote of the people in the city of Dallas, knowing how bad our problem was. So we're completing that now.
Thank you. Thank you very much for the explanation. I think some of the council member who was not here in the past should know the history of what we went through with the parking garage. This is a completely isolated case. Again, thank you for the explanation. Mr. Kingston, you have your light on. You want to?
Yeah, I just wanted to respond, Mr. Mayor. I'm aware of the history, and I just know a stupid real estate deal when I see one.
Thank you very much. Okay, we got a motion in the second. All in favor? In opposed? One opposed? Item carried. Mr. Kingston opposed. Thank you. Next item.
For agenda item number 44, there are no appointments to boards and commissions. Agenda item number 45 is to authorize a 2-year service contract for the rental of vehicles and equipment, Hertz Equipment Rental Corporation, in the amount of $4,032,072 or $3,936,162. This vendor is part of a tied bid on line 10. EAN Holdings, LLC, aka Enterprise Rent a Car, in the amount of $1,883,833 or $1,787,923. This vendor is also part of the tie bid for line 10. Landmark Equipment Inc. in the amount of $1,546,095. Holt Texas LTD in the amount of $1,465,960. Bain Machinery Inc. in the amount of $1,111,885. Four Seasons Equipment Inc. in the amount of $591,350. RB Everett and Company in the amount of $249,991. United Rentals North America Inc. in the amount of $245,110. Metro Golf Cars in the amount of $141,309. Berry Companies Inc. DBA Bobcat of Dallas in the amount of $99,000. And Kirby Smith Machinery Inc. in the amount of $88,900. Mr. Mayor, for those on the tie bid for line 10, here are two envelopes, and you'll need to select one. If you would please read that name into the record, and the bid for line 10 will be awarded to that vendor.
B. Emain Holding LLC, AK Enterprise Rental Car.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I need a motion, please.
Phantom motion.
Move.
Second. All in favor? Item carried. Next item, please.
Thank you. Agenda item number 46 and 47 are eminent domain items. They will be both read into the record, after which Councilmember May, if desired, pull one of those items to be considered separately. Agenda item number 46 requires the motion that the City Council of the City of Dallas adopt the item and authorize the use of the power of eminent domain if necessary to acquire from Victor Hugo Gomez and Irma Leticia Rodriguez Campos a subsurface easement containing approximately 831 square feet, located on Foreman Street near its intersection with Spring Avenue and City of Dallas Block A, 2410, Dallas County, Texas, and more fully described in Exhibit A of the proposed written resolution for this item for the Mill Creek Peaks Branch St. Thomas Drainage Relief Tunnel Project. Agenda item number 47 requires a motion that the City Council of the City of Dallas adopt the item and authorize the use of the power of eminent domain if necessary to acquire from HFLP Limited a subsurface easement containing approximately 59,638 square feet located on Sighing Road near its intersection with Dixon Avenue in City of Dallas Block 5800, Dallas County, Texas, and more fully described in Exhibit A of the proposed written resolution for this item for the Mill Creek Peaks Branch St. Thomas Drainage Relief Tunnel Project. Are there any council members that would like to pull any of those items for individual vote?
Ms. Davis?
No, I'm ready to move forward for
okay.
Vote.
Just a record vote?
The item does require a record vote. If I will need to bring that process into play. One moment, please. If you'll please go ahead and cast your vote.
How do you want to vote? I'll just hit it.
Thank you. I'll have voted on the motion. The motion carries unanimously with all... with the mayor absent on city business and all the other 14 council members voting in favor, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Next item.
The following statement applies to agenda items number 48 through 51. By making and seconding the motion, the council members represent they have undertaken sufficient examination and involvement beyond reviewing the agenda materials to be knowledgeable about the facts and the circumstances of the cases and to be able to develop an opinion based on such an examination of the various factors and issues involved. These items, therefore, will require 2 seconds. Agenda item number 48 is authorize the fourth of four 12-month renewal options to the grant agreement with the World Affairs Council of Dallas-Fort Worth for Economic Development and Protocol Services for the period October 1, 2014 to September 30, 2015, not to exceed $250,000. Again, the item requires 2 seconds.
Is that a motion?
Second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Ayes carry. Next item.
Agenda items number 49 and 50 need to be considered collectively. Agenda item 49 is authorized number 1, a development agreement with 42 Deep Elm LP to dedicate future TIF revenues for reimbursement of eligible project costs relating to paving street and streetscape and lighting, open spaces and trails, and facade restoration, environmental remediation, and demolition for commercial redevelopment of 2609 to 2711 Main, 2646 Elm, 2653 through 2711 Commerce, and surface parking lots of 2607, 2619, 2621, and 2623 Main, located in the Deep Elm TIF District, and number 2, the Deep Elm TIF District Board of Directors to dedicate in an amount not to exceed $2,725,000, plus an economic development TIF grant in an amount not to exceed $775, for a total not to exceed $3,500,000 from future Deep Elm TIF District revenues in accordance with a development agreement. Agenda item number 50 is a resolution declaring the intent of Deep Elm TIF District to reimburse 42 Deep Elm LP up to $3,500,000, of which up to $775,000 is in the form of an economic development TIF grant for project costs pursuant to the development agreement with 42 Deep Elm LP. The items require 2 seconds.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
And opposed? Aye. Carried. Next item.
Agenda item number 51 is authorized number 1, an extension of the development loan agreement with builders of Oak CDC West Dallas Project to December 31, 2015 for acquisition and related acquisition costs of 22 unimproved properties, and number 2, a development loan in the amount of $521,400 for the construction of the final 11 homes. The items require 2 seconds.
Do I have a motion?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
And opposed? Aye. Carried. Next item.
Addendum item number 11 is an ordinance amending ordinance number 29376 to change certain election day polling and early voting locations for the Tuesday, November 4, 2014 special election for the purpose of submitting to the qualified voters of the city proposed amendments to the Dallas City Charter.
Yeah. Is that a second? All in favor?
Aye.
Ms. Davis?
Yes, Mr. Mayor, I have one question on the charter. There has been a change when it comes to employees.
Right.
I guess we'll have to wait till the mayor comes.
I don't know. Warren, do you want to address that? I know it was in the paper Sunday we were referring to the changes. Do you want to address that, Warren? Warren's going to come forward to address that. It's not with that particular one.
The legislature in its 2013 session changed the state law, added a provision. With respect to employees of municipalities, the portion of the charter amendment is simply a cleanup that follows that.
And can you state what that is, please?
The state law change is that the municipality cannot terminate or have a provision that terminates an employee's employment with the city simply as a result of that employee running for office.
Okay, and so based on what we put in our charter is stating that they would have to step down if they want to run for office.
Yes, the city charter has had that provision in it for some time, but state law governs.
Okay, and so what do we need to take that out of
the charter provision that has been in effect is no longer in effect because of state law, and so this is a cleanup. And so when the voters vote on the I believe it's item 9 in the charter ballots, that one of the actions will be cleaning that up so that the charter conforms with state law.
Okay, so I guess what I'm trying to ask, would that be removed when you said clean up? Would that
it would remove the forfeiture provision from the charter.
Okay,
correct.
And so that would not be on the ballot?
It will be. The item is on the ballot.
Yeah.
To remove the forfeiture provision from the charter. The forfeiture provision in the charter, because of state law, is not effective anymore.
Okay. Okay, and so that you will clean that up where it will reflect what the state law is.
Correct.
Now.
Correct.
Okay, thank you.
Ms. Wayson?
Thank you. I have a question for Ms. Rios. Mm-hmm. And I think it's this item out of all the ones we're voting on related to the election, but I was looking through the early voting locations for the Dallas County part of Far North Dallas, and it's usually at Fretz. And I know Fretz Library is closed because it's being renovated. But the next closest location is Churchill, south of LBJ. That leaves the entire part of Dallas County and Far North Dallas without a polling location for early voting. Surely they could have found one at maybe Fretz Rec Center or somewhere else. Dallas County goes all the way up to McCallum, and Churchill Rec Center is a long ways from McCallum Road. So I was just wondering, how hard did they try to find another early voting location in Dallas County in Far North Dallas?
I do know that they made every effort to look at whatever the options were. I don't really know exactly the reason why that location was chosen. However, as you know, when the city joins the county's election, the city is tied to using those locations, whereas in May, because, you know, it is our election, we have a little bit more control over them. But I could certainly get that information as to possibly why they went.
I guess I'm just wondering why they couldn't use the rec center, which is right next door to the library and isn't being renovated.
Right. Well, there's we have gotten previous requests to not use the recreation center.
From who?
So
from the rec center folks?
Yes, from the rec center, and then also the council member.
Well, I don't know.
Because it interferes with their schedule for a lot of the events. And they've gotten complaints about the voters because they're not able to get a dedicated room to go in and vote, and they have to be set up in the hallway, and it interferes with the ease of voting. So they've gotten complaints in that regard as well.
Complaints from voters, or complaints from the rec center, or complaints from users of the rec center?
It's a little bit of everybody.
It's just very, very inconvenient. And so I'd like some more discussion about how hard they look to find an alternate location.
We'll get some information for you.
Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Clammer?
Yeah, and may I address this question directly?
Yes.
Thank you for your concerns. And we did have a lot of discussion about this, and I had a lot of concerns, including direct contact with the folks from both the Democratic Party and the Republican Party that wanted to maintain at Fletz, because Fletz is historically, people just know it's there, and it was a big concern. We looked at a number of options. The rec center option got taken off the table because of no ability to provide them a dedicated space in there, and because there's so much programming going on through there that they didn't want to lock out, you know, half of their multi-purpose room for that period of time, and it had more to do with the amount of time associated with the early voting. They felt like, yeah, they could do it for one day for the regular voting, but it was just having it for 2 weeks or so in early voting. So between, I think, the users of the rec center and staff, that they felt like they could not offer that option. We also discussed putting on site a temporary trailer, like voting trailer, and for whatever reason, that just didn't pan out to the best of our. So we did work through this several times, both with the county and the city, and this is unfortunate. I know, and even for my residents too, people are like, I always voted at Fletz. Where do I go now? And I've been trying to tell them to get to Churchill, and you're right, especially going so far north, it's a challenge.
I appreciate all the work that you did on that, Mr. Kleinman. It's just that Fretz has always been one of the heaviest early voting locations in the entire city, and I'm just concerned about people not having the ability to get something fairly close by. And had they checked with any of the churches or any, because I know some churches also make themselves available, I just worry that it's so far away.
Your concerns are... Absolutely.
And I know it's not going to last forever. You know, the renovation's just going to take a year or two. But I'm very concerned about that. And I just would like to see if there isn't a possible way to address that for the next election and the early voting. Thank you.
Ms. Caroline.
Hey, thank you. Ms. Kleiner, and I agree with the argument that I've heard. I just want you touched on just one thing. And you mentioned the trailers, that it might be a temporary trailer.
Yeah, so one of the options that we looked at, and we even had offers from some actually party chairs to maybe pay for a voting trailer to be on site, where it would be like a kind of like one of those construction trailers.
Mm-hmm.
And that they actually went down that path a little bit, but then they started looking at some things like ADA requirements, mm-hmm. Which made it more challenging, were there bathroom requirements, getting electricity and water in the trailer, and just some of the things that may or may not have been needed. But ADA was absolutely going to be needed.
And it just so
that may fizzle out. That may fizzle out.
Because
I was going to just suggest that if for a trailer, we got to also consider security versus, you know, a building, because
right.
voting machines in overnight
for
a period of time. I'm suggesting that. I'm with what
No, I think that's a very good point, and that's probably another reason it just didn't really get legs. Security is a very concerning reason, especially in voting.
Thank you. Thank you.
Good night,
Casey. We have a motion on it. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? I ask Carrie, next item.
Mr. Mayor, Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Alonzo and Councilmember Medrano have a conflict on addendum item number 12 and addendum item number 15. And they will remove themselves from the meeting room.
Can we recommend that these be read together so we can
see them during that time? Yeah, we'll read them together.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Addendum. The record will reflect that the two council members are leaving the room. Addendum item number 12 is a resolution number 1, authorizing a joint election agreement with election services contract between the City of Dallas, Dallas County, and various other jurisdictions within Dallas County for the conduct of a joint election to be held on Tuesday, November 4, 2014, in an amount not to exceed $951,000. Oh. Number 2, legal advertising connection with a Tuesday, November 4, 2014 city special election in an amount not to exceed $100,000. And number 3, $5,000 for translation services for publication and posting notices and security services for City Hall during early voting and other miscellaneous expenditures related to the election. Addendum item number 15 is a resolution authorizing the appointment of citizens to serve as election judges.
Ms. Rosen.
Yes.
No question. Ms. Davis, I think Ms. Davis was on that. I think Mary asked her. I think she should be here, right?
I don't know that she's got a conflict.
I think the mayor's office asked me to be a part of the joint election as well.
Are you talking about the canvassing committee?
Uh-huh.
Oh, right. That does not affect your ability to participate.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Right. So there's no conflict there. And so addendum item 15 is a resolution authorizing the appointment of citizens to serve as election judges for the City of Dallas and Dallas County for the Tuesday, November 4, 2014 special election.
They have a motion.
Motion. Second.
You got a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
I ask Carrie. Next item.
Thank you. Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Alonzo. Further questions?
No.
Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Alonzo and Councilmember Medrano may now return to the council chamber. Addendum item number 13 is a resolution authorizing a joint election agreement and election services contract between the City of Dallas, Collin County, and various other jurisdictions within Collin County for the conduct of a joint election to be held on Tuesday, November 4, 2014, not to exceed $4,200.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? I ask Carrie. Next item.
Addendum item number 14 is a resolution authorizing a joint election agreement and election services contract between the City of Dallas, Denton County, and various other jurisdictions within Denton County for the conduct of a joint election to be held on Tuesday, November 4, 2014, not to exceed $14,000.
All in favor? Aye. I ask Carrie. Next item.
Addendum item number 16 is authorize a resolution on the appointment of citizens to serve as election judges for the City of Dallas and Collin County for the Tuesday, November 4, 2014 special election. Financing, there's no cost consideration. It's addendum 16.
Okay. All in favor?
Oh.
And opposed?
Can you clarify who the second was, Mr. Mayor? Oh, thank you.
Ms. Tracy. Next item.
Addendum item number 17 is a resolution authorizing the appointment of citizens to serve as election judges for the City of Dallas in Denton County for the Tuesday, November 4, 2014 special election. There's no cost consideration.
All in favor? And opposed? I ask Carrie. Next item.
Addendum item 18 is a resolution authorizing the mayor to appoint an ad hoc city council canvassing committee to review the returns of the November 4, 2014 special election and submit a canvass report to the full city council on Monday, November 17, 2014. And Mayor Rawlings is proposing to appoint Councilmember Griggs as chair, Councilmember Medrano, Councilmember Davis, and Councilmember Gates as members, with Councilmember Hill serving as the alternate.
Got a motion?
Move approval.
All in favor? Motion carried. Next item.
Can you clarify who made the second, please?
The table over there.
Who was the second?
Did you make the motion?
I'll second.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. Addendum item number 19. Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Atkins and Councilmember Carraway have a conflict on the item. Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Atkins will now leave the chamber, and Councilmember Carraway is already out of the room. Addendum item number 19 is a resolution designating absences by Mayor Pro Tem Tanel Atkins and Councilmember Dwayne R. Carraway as being for official city business.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, signified by saying aye if you approve.
Aye.
And opposed? And the ayes have it.
Thank you. Madam Mayor, that is the conclusion of the morning item.
So Mayor is coming back. Mr. Atkins.
Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Atkins may return to the council chamber. We do have an executive session scheduled.
It is now 10:56, September 24th. The City Council will now go into closed session under Section 55.071 of the Texas Open Meeting Act to receive advice from consulting with the City Attorney on the following matter described on today's agenda, legal issue regarding the Texas Open Meeting, and we will return back at 1 p.m. It should last no more than 5 or 10 minutes.
5 or 10 minutes.
At the most.
Right now.
5 minutes, real people time. Okay, it's 1:03. September 24th, the City Council will now come back out of closed session under the Texas Open Meeting Act. Closed session for the legal issue regarding the Texas Open Meeting Act. Okay, Madam Secretary.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. We're going to begin the afternoon session with the zoning consent agenda item, and that consists of agenda items number 52, 53, and 54. They will be read into the record, after which individuals will be called. Agenda item number 52 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a specific use permit for an alcoholic beverage establishment limited to a bar, lounge, or tavern on property on the southwest corner of Willowbrook Road and Harry Heights Boulevard. Agenda item number 53 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a specific use permit for an alcoholic beverage establishment limited to a bar, lounge, or tavern on property on the southwest corner of Willowbrook Road and Harry Heinz Boulevard. Agenda item number 54 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a specific use permit for an alcoholic beverage establishment limited to a bar, lounge, or tavern on property on the southwest corner of Willowbrook Road and Harry Heinz Boulevard. Are there any individuals that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve the items? Are there any speakers in favor? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. Ms. Alonso.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move to move these three items forward as recommended by CPC with a three-year period. And I want to make sure that I recognize the communication that was given between the community and the applicant as well as the representatives. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Mm-hmm. Did I have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
In opposed? Aye. Carried. Next item, please.
Agenda item number 55 is a public hearing on a proposed municipal setting designation to prohibit the use of groundwater as potable water beneath property owned by NWH Land LP, located at 2425 West Northwest Highway, in an ordinance authorizing support of the issuance of a municipal setting designation to NWH Land LP by the Texas Commission on Environmental Quality and prohibiting the use of groundwater beneath the designated property as potable water. Pursuant to Section 51A 6.108G3 of the Dallas Development Code, the applicant or licensed representative of the applicant who is familiar with the application must be present and available to answer questions. Will that individual please step up to the podium and identify yourself? We will need for you to state your name and address for the record, please.
Good afternoon. My name is Frank W. Clark. I'm a senior consultant with W&M Environmental Group. I'm a registered professional geoscientist in the state of Texas, and we represent NWH Land, the MSD applicant.
Thank you, sir. Are there any individuals that would like to speak on the item? Are there any speakers? We do have an individual coming forward. Ma'am, you're allowed 3 minutes to speak. You'll notice the timer. Please address your comments to Mayor Atkins.
Good afternoon. My name is Susan Rainey. I'm with Lock Lord in Dallas. I represent NWH Land LP and would urge your support of the municipal setting designation. We're here to answer any questions you might have.
Thank you.
Are there any other speakers on the item? No further speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. Ms. Alonzo.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Mayor, before I make the motion, may I please make a comment about the previous items. Just basically, I forgot to share that I want to thank staff for all the hard work that they've they worked hard with the applicants and all. And in regards to this item as well, Mr. Mayor, on item number 55, I move that we move this item forward, but I also want to make sure that I address that I want to thank staff in that regards.
Okay. All in favor? Any opposed? Ask her. Next item, please.
Thank you. Addendum item number 20 is a public hearing regarding a proposal to change the name of South Lancaster Road from East Illinois Avenue to Interstate Highway 20 to Nelson Mandela Boulevard and an ordinance granting the name change.
Mr. Mayor, a favorable vote of 3/4 the City Council is due to approve this item because a waiver to Section 9.304A5, which requires the street name may not contain more than 14 characters, and a waiver to Section 9.304C2, which requires a street name commemorating a person or historic area or site, is prohibited until at least 2 years after the death of the person to be honored.
Thank you. We do have 7 individuals registered to speak on this item. They will be called first, after which other speakers will be allowed to come up to the podium. Individuals are allowed 3 minutes to speak. You'll notice the timer at the podium. When your time is up, please allow the next individual their turn. You still need to state your name and address for the record when called or stepping up to the podium and address your comments to Mayor Atkins, and it will be important that you stay to the topic, please.
Rose, would you kind of have any people want to speak?
We have 7. Right now we have 7 that are registered, and I'm not sure how many.
Who else wants to speak?
If anyone else that has not registered to speak, would you please raise your comment? I'm going to go ahead and read the names of those that are registered. We have Clarence Jackson, Jeffrey McZeal, Billy Scott, Kenneth Cordier, Nancy Thomas, and Brooks McElhaney. And actually, one individual canceled. There's actually 6. So if your names were called, do not raise your hand. Anybody else that wishes to come speak on the item, please raise your hand, besides those that were called. So we show 1. 2, 3, there's another one, possibly 3, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. He's here. Just hold up.
Okay, if you, sir, if you'll please hold on 1 moment. This is the last item, Mr. Mayor. 1 moment, please. Again, if your name was read and you know that you registered with my office, please do not raise your hand. Who that is remaining in the audience is going to be speaking at this public hearing? Would you please raise your hand? We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. We have 5 other individuals, Mr. Mayor. Mm-hmm. What kind of time limitation?
Give a couple of minutes.
Okay. We're trying to get the rest of the council members here. If the public would please just hold on for 1 moment. Thank you.
Ms. Callan?
Y'all did? Good. Mayor, what's the procedure?
I'm waiting on you.
Well, okay. Well, good. I think we should, I would like to
first ask that we hear from our public speakers that are here for the 1 o'clock as it relates to Nelson Mandela. And at that particular point, then after the conclusion of listening to our public speakers, then at that time I'll make a motion.
Okay. 3 minutes, Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
Thank you. Individuals will be allowed 3 minutes to speak. Your first speaker is Clarence Jackson. Clarence Jackson. Thank you for your patience, Mr. Jackson. If you'll please state your name and address for the record.
My name is Clarence Jackson. I live at 2815 Williams Way Court, Dallas, Texas, 75228. I'm rising to speak in opposition of the name change. I think the name change at this time, with the VA having a national scandal as far as health care, is going to be disruptive to what they're trying to do. I'm a National Legislative Committee member for the VFW, and I just left D.C. last week talking to our congresspeople. And they're real concerned about some of the reports that's coming in from the IG reports and also the report that VFW raised to them showing that our Dallas area VA really needs some help. Making this name change is going to be disruptive for them. It's going to be disruptive for all of the veterans. And if you make that name change, you're really not showing support for the veterans of this country, and especially the neighborhood and the veterans that use the VA. VA can use that money to fix some of these problems, not make a name change. And that's pretty much it. You know, you guys need to show support for veterans. Name change is really not necessary. I'm a lifelong resident of Dallas. I've seen other name changes that really did result. And I think if you want to improve that neighborhood, put a tax increment finance or a PIF there. That should help.
Thank you.
But no name change.
Thank you.
And if you want to show support for the veterans, you'll vote no.
Thank you, Mr. Jackson. Your next speaker is Jeffrey McZeal. Jeffrey McZeal. Mr. McZeal will be followed by Billy Scott, Kenneth Cordier, Nancy Thomas, and Bruce McElhinney.
Hello, everybody. My name is Jeffrey McZeal. I live in the 75216 area code. I also work in the 75216 area code at the Veterans Resource Center, located about 2 blocks south of the Dallas VA. I'm here today to ask for a no vote on the street name change for Lancaster Road. To my understanding, there was approximately 320 notices that went out to business owners, and approximately 20 of them came back to you through the mail. Out of those 20, I think 19 of them were opposed, maybe a few were, and a very small number were for it. But there was also issues with those notices, and that may happen kind of commonly when notices go out for issues of this matter, but a lot of the business owners did not get a full packet with the form to actually oppose or say that they were for it. Some of them got it, and some of them were honest and said, hey, I got it, and I didn't send it in on time, or I didn't send it at all. So that's a thing on both sides. But I've personally spoken with a lot of the business owners on Lancaster. Several of them have said they do not want this change, primarily because the street name change is going to affect their business negatively, money-wise. They have to spend too much money. And before I go any further with that, I'm not a business owner on Lancaster. I just work at the Resource Center. I deal with veterans all the time, and I've gotten their input as well. As you can see, we've got a lot of veterans here today. To my understanding, there may be a few veterans that actually are for the change for some reason. But I do know that if the VA has to spend money on stationary changes, that's money that's going to come out of our health care. I'm a Army veteran, disabled Army veteran. I'm an officer in my VFW post. I'm also an officer at my American Legion post. And I talk to veterans. I speak to veterans every day at the Resource Center. We help them with education, employment, and housing. And I feel like I've got the pulse of the veterans, at least the ones I've come in contact with, there's a lot of them that are overwhelmingly against the street name change because it's going to affect us negatively, those of us who get the services at the VA. I'm originally from Louisiana, but I chose Dallas because Dallas has the second largest VA in the country, and this is one of the few VAs in the country that can treat my particular service-connected disability. So I chose Dallas. Got the warm weather just like Louisiana, and that's what I'm used to. That's what I like. But right now, the veterans I've spoken to, we all feel insulted by the presentation of the street name change. And I guess this is my time right here or something? Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I'm going to just end this with asking you for a no vote. Please vote no on the street name change for Lancaster. Thank you.
The next speaker, Billy Scott. Billy Scott. Not present?
Yes.
Oh, I am so sorry, sir. And then Kenneth Cordier will follow. And then Nancy Thomas and Bruce McKelleny. Okay.
To my representative, to Mayor Pro Tem Afton, it's a pleasure to come down to represent my community and my city and the veteran of the U.S. Army of America. And I want to say that I love things to grow in our city, but we need time to do it. Just for an example, on J.B. Jackson Boulevard, which was 4th Avenue, and I'm a realtor, and here I am writing it up at J.B. Jackson. I called to the city, and the city know nothing about it. I called to my MLS, and they don't have it. It takes time to do things. But I represent the community that do not want this at all. But I'm for change. I want to make that clear. I'm for change. But give a chance. We fought in this country for a chance to have a fair shake. And I look for no one else to do that besides you. Because you represent America and you represent Dallas, Texas. So I'm looking for you all to give us a chance. And we live in the community. I live at 2550 Palo Alto, 5 blocks off of Lancaster Road. And I brought a lot of business to that area because I've been doing real estate since 1965. I brought Sunnit out there, and then I brought other business out there, and I'm bringing more. I would love a change, but give us a chance. Please give us a chance. I like the idea of a city councilman come out and talk to us last night. Let us know what you're doing, the community. They can, you know, I mean, it helps a lot to let us know. But when we don't know what to do but oppose it. So I'm asking the city council, give us a chance. Give us a chance. It's not fair to us to throw stuff on us and we know nothing about it. It's not fair to just come up with an idea and throw it down our throat. We are American citizens. We're from Dallas, Texas, and we love all of you. We appreciate what you're doing, but work for us, the little citizen of the United States of America that fought for this country. People that build their homes, and they build it, and these people came all the way from the wood house to the big house. So we need some help from you. I'm leaving it in your hand. I have no more to say. Thank you, each and every one of you. Thank you.
Your next speaker, Kenneth Cordier. Mr. Cordier will be followed by Nancy Thomas and Bruce McKelleny.
Mr. Mayor, Mayor Pro Tem, City Council members, my name is Kenneth Cordier. I live at 727 Kessler Lake Drive in zip 75208. I'd like to say that no one who's aware of world events is unaware of Nelson Mandela. He's a giant on the world stage. But the world is not going to pay for all the expenses involved in changing the name of this street. I would like to offer a couple of positive ideas. One, you could have an honorary name, such as the Tom Landry Highway, Martin D. Love Freeway, any of these other roads around the city that are named after people we want to honor. And I fully support honoring Nelson Mandela. Another option might be to call it an honorary named street and put a brown plaque above the green plaque with Nelson Mandela's name. And with that, you'd only have the cost of printing these brown plates and fixing them on top of the Lancaster Road name. I don't think anyone would object to that. And your post office mailing address would remain the same. Another option might be rename a public building or a school and thereby honoring Mr. Mandela. History does not support changing a name like Lancaster. When this area was settled 150 or more years ago, the man whose name escapes me bought a couple of sections of land, started a little town called Lancaster, and the road that they made between Lancaster and Dallas was called Lancaster Road. And the reason he named it Lancaster is because he came from Lancaster, Kentucky, and that town took its name from Lancaster, Pennsylvania, which took its name from Lancaster, England, and the early settlers. So we have a long history here that I don't think we should lightly brush aside. The inconvenience to residents and businesses has already been covered, and I'd just like to say again, I support honoring Nelson Mandela, but in a way that's not a burden to the Dallas taxpayers. Thank you.
The next speaker, Nancy Thomas. Ms. Thomas will be followed by Bruce McKelly.
Good afternoon.
We'll pull your mic down, Ms. Thomas.
Pull your mic down.
Pull your mic down.
There you go.
Better? I'm going to read what short thing I have to say because I have a very good tendency getting off track sometimes, and I know we're limited on time. As a proud citizen of this country and of this city, I appreciate the opportunity to talk to y'all. I'm Nancy Thomas, born and raised within 2 miles of Lancaster Road. I'm a third-generation family-owned business with 2 stores on Lancaster Road. One has been there 73 years and one 40 years. We're here to discuss Lancaster Road, gateway to Dallas and State Highway 32. Gate Highway is a landmark and listed on the World Atlas Maps as a way to Dallas, VA, and Dallas, Texas. We as a group who attended the city council meeting last week would like to express our thank you to the City Plan Commission for listening to our concerns and handing down a denial. Also, there was no one there that was asking for a change and had a yes sticker on their chest. So why weren't y'all there on Thursday? Because you're here for the vote. And we'd like to give you a few reasons why we have issues to cover. Rule on the books for honoring people is 2 years after death. This proposal doesn't meet the criteria. rushing it a little bit. No community meetings have been held at the request of the three districts. We requested one yesterday, and can you believe that we actually got one? The questionnaires on handling the meeting information by the city has been deplorable. The last one they sent out said the last ad valorem tax indicates that you are an owner of property abutting Floral Street. And on checking, every one of them said that. You know where Floral Street is? Can anybody tell me?
Downtown Dallas.
It's over town. It's across the river. So we've had this sheet of paper running around. Everybody signing and saying, hey, I don't abut Flora Street. Most of them just said, the ones that did get it, by the way, we have a lot of people that did not even receive. I received at one of my stores for the Thursday meeting, and the other store didn't. The other store got the one for the meeting today, and I didn't get the meeting for the one today. So we do have a problem with the communication.
Can you wrap it up?
Biggest thing.
Take about another 10 seconds to wrap it up, please.
I'm sorry?
Can you take another 10 seconds to finish your speech, please?
Okay. Well, I have one thing I'm going to say. It's claimed more than once on TV that votes are in. And as I look at each one of y'all, I wonder, everything has been far under the radar, right, so far under the radar. How can you make a prudent vote? Is your vote in his pocket? I'm under the impression that it's unethical and really maybe not even illegal, maybe not legal. Your vote is paramount to bring defeat on this change. Your vote is the final answer.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next speaker is Bruce McKellany. Speakers that will be forthcoming after Mr. McKellany will be allowed 1 minute to speak.
Good afternoon. Mr. Mayor, City Council members, dignitaries, fellow veterans, citizens, my name is Bruce McElhaney. I'm the past national president of the AmVest Riders Veterans Organization. I also serve as the first vice president of the AmVest Riders Post 23 here in Dallas. I also am a disabled veteran. My son's also a disabled veteran, and the reason why we moved to the Dallas area was because of the quality treatment at the VA that my son is now able to walk after being bedridden for 2 years. So he now has a life instead of delayed in a bed. I'd like to take a few minutes to first of all thank the council for the opportunity to address each of you pertaining to the proposal to change the name of Lancaster Road here in Dallas to Nelson Mandela Boulevard. I personally firmly object to this change for several reasons, and I ask each of you to vote no. My first and second points have already been talked about, so I won't waste your time in going over those, one being cost prohibitive and the other being a waste of time. My third point is what I'm most passionate about, and that's what I live my life by. that's the point I'll make today. The Dallas Veteran, as you're aware, the Dallas Veterans Hospital and the Veterans Resource Center both sit directly on the site of Lancaster Road. I firmly believe that changing the name of Lancaster Road to Nelson Mandela Boulevard is both a direct and indirect slap in the face of every veteran, every United States veteran that goes to either the Dallas VA or the Veterans Resource Center. If this name change is necessary, which in my opinion it is not, in my heart we should call it Veterans Boulevard, or better yet, let's pay honor and respect to one of the thousands of U.S. military members that sacrificed their very lives for the opportunity and the freedom for us to meet right here today, and that they also give us our God-given rights that were guaranteed under the United States Constitution. If the name change to Lancaster Road is necessary, I would like to make a few recommendations pertaining to appropriate names to change it to. For example, every day of my life, I wear a bracelet. You're more than welcome to look at it at any time. And that was made for me by a combat wounded Army veteran friend of mine, Mr. Larry Stewart. And Stu has now passed away from his combat-related wounds. This bracelet honors some personal friends of mine. Their son, Christopher Neil White, killed in action June 20th, 06. I also have a few other recommendations, actually 7,020 of them to be exact. You're more than welcome to have this packet for review. Each one of these names in this packet is a fallen American hero that gave all of their tomorrows in the Iraq and Afghanistan wars so that we can enjoy our freedoms and the American way of life each and every today. I would be more than honored to read, and I'm sure behind me there's some people that wouldn't mind helping, each and every one of those 7,020 names.
Will you take about another 10 seconds?
Yes, sir.
Please.
Of these fallen American heroes, if a name change is necessary. I'd like to present a copy for the record of my speech and this packet. Thank you very much again for the opportunity to address, and again, I recommend a no vote. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Are there any other speakers that would like to speak on the item? You may go ahead and step forward to the podium, state your name and address for the record. Again, you're allowed 1 minute to speak. And after you've spoken, staff will get with you to fill out a speaker card so that we can accurately reflect your information in the minute.
Good afternoon, esteemed City Council, Mr. Mayor. My name is William Oliver Dwiggins. I live at 5614 Twin Brooks Drive, Dallas, Texas, 75252. I'm a 31-plus year retired Marine colonel, disabled veteran, and I swore allegiance to the Constitution of the United States of America to support and defend that Constitution. With all due respect to all the things that Mr. Mandela may have done, if you're going to change the name, let it be somebody that's American. Let it be somebody that served this country. Thank you very much for this opportunity. Continued success to you. God bless Dallas, Texas.
Next speaker, please.
I'm Dr. Gerald Caldwell, Commander Emeritus of Texas. I come down and speak that President Obama has found some new people that have been overlooked for a long time, that won the Medal of Honor. They've been overlooked. Now, all of a sudden, you're going to a foreign country to get somebody to give them an honor, and you're not going to consider those people at all. Thank you.
Can we get his address, Mr. Mayor? Can we get your address, sir?
We'll get a speaker card. Yes, we're going to get a speaker card from the individual.
Everybody's address.
Did we get his address?
We will. We have staff following up in the record.
I want all addresses on the record prior to them speaking.
Thank you.
It's very important.
Thank you. Next speaker, please.
My name is Thelma, and I'm representing one of the businesses there in southern sector of Dallas, Clemens Trucking Company. We also reside at 7934 South Lancaster Road. I am totally opposed of the name change because as a small business owner, we're already struggling for the opportunity for business in that area. There were no public meetings held that allowed the community as well as the business owners the opportunity to speak, to have a voice in regard to yay or nay relating to the name change. And I just feel like today, based on the cost that affects the small business owners here, it would be too dramatic of a cost factor to the business owners. My time is about it, so I say no.
Thank you.
Next speaker, please.
Rich Sheridan, 11301 Dennis Road, Dallas, Texas. No to the name change of South Lancaster Road to Nelson Mandela Boulevard today, tomorrow, or this year. My position in no way reflects negatively on the great man Nelson Mandela. Others that live in the Lancaster area have spoken very well on the subject, also being against the name change. I object to two things in the name change process. Number two, the lady that just left, why the rush? All of a sudden, we are about to vote on change the name of a very well-known road in the black community with little input from the community. How many town hall meetings? How many city public hearings have been? Lastly, I see this as political opportunist by someone who needs all the look-good opportunities he can get. I have a history with this man, and I will say this, that all I have is my word, my name, and my relationship with God, and excuse me, I question two of the three with this man.
Thank you. Are there any other speakers? No other speakers, Mr. Mayor.
No.
We have one individual coming forward. Again, so please state your name and address for the record. Thank you.
My name is Aaron Harris. I'm a business owner at AWDTL at 4033 South Lancaster. I have all my guys. We want the name change. Y'all with me?
You say, turn to the mic, please.
My name is Aaron Harris. I'm the owner at AWDTL, 4033 South Lancaster Road. I brought all my employees here. They with the new name change, right?
Yes, sir.
That's all I got to say.
Are there any other speakers?
How y'all doing today? My name is Johnny Moss. I'm with AWDTL. The name change, right, to my opinion, would be good. Mandela was a great man. Very great man. A lot of them gentlemen, like, and up here, naming off some few people. I don't put down what the vet had done for me. But Mandela, if you look back on his career, what he's been through, he's done a lot for the people over in Africa, which helped us out over here too. Thanks.
Are there any other speakers? No further speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Caraway.
Thank you, Mayor, and let me thank each and every one of you that came down. Let me also thank those of you that are here that we do not feel that it is and should be even necessary for us to have to come down here and beg for us to be able to do things that makes a difference in our lives. Let me also thank all of the veterans. Let me make sure that all of the veterans who spoke, all of the veterans that showed up, I certainly appreciate you and all the things that you've done on behalf of the United States of America. Let me also go through just a few things, and I took a few notes. And some of the notes that I took will reflect some of the comments that we have, and that's been stated. First of all, to this council, I know where we are, and I know what my next move will be. I appreciate the fact and would hope that the folks would understand. People elected the elected official to represent them. They shouldn't have to take off work to come down here to fight when they sent me to fight on their behalf, to speak on their behalf, on issues that impact us. I see the veterans here, but ironically, the veteran hospital, they're neutral in this, and they're supportive. Congresswoman Eddie Bernice Johnson is for it. State Senator Royce West is for it. State Representative Yvonne Davis is for it. State Representative Tony Rose is for this, as well as the state elected officials. We've had conversations with them, and they offered their support. Mayor Mike Rollins, who is in China, is for it. But it is okay, because some of us, we do see the vision. When I'm elected to represent a community, I look at the whole community. Yes, the veterans are there and the veteran hospital is there. One of you spoke about health care. Well, that's something that we need to deal with through the veterans to bring about better health. I support the fact that we need it. But at the same token, it is not something that we can go and do just ourselves. We have to do it as a team. When you look at the area, when you look at Lancaster Boulevard, Lancaster Road, and you look for the 50 years that I have walked up and down the street personally myself, when the Crest Theater was there, now where Save-A-Lot is, when the two motels were there, the Sunset Motel being one of them, next door to the Urban League was there, peddling drugs, prostitution, crime, all up and down Lancaster. And you look today, what is there now today, in replace of those hot sheet motels where prostitutes were walking, kids trying to go to Lipscomb School were being challenged to buy drugs from the motel, but the motel is no longer there. You look at the missed opportunities. You look at the hope of the community, but you look beyond just one street. You have to look beyond just Veterans Hospital. Veterans Hospital is there and it is dear to us. But there's a community on the left side of veterans and there's a community on the right side of veterans. When you look at the opportunity to make a change, it hadn't changed in the 50 years that I've been there. It has only gone downhill. Downhill. Now that we're fighting to bring it back up the hill. Now that we're trying to fight to bring growth south, as we're talking growth south, either we're going to grow south and be about growing south, because when you grow, you change. If you have intentions to really grow, you change. Because you cannot grow without planting the seed. The seed that's being planted is the one of prosperity. The seed that's being planted is the one of hope. To give the neighborhood something to be proud about. To give the people that are going up and down Lancaster something that they can raise their hand and shout about. To make people understand that the respect for this street that we all have, instead of throwing the check-in boxes out of the window, maybe they would find a trash can to put it in versus trashing up our community. And for my African-American council colleagues, am I disturbed? I really am. I'm glad that you all are here today to witness who's with you and who's not. You need to see it, and then you need to spread the word. And you need to spread the word through social media so folks can understand. You talked about a meeting last night that you had, but you did not have the courtesy to invite me. I found out about the meeting by mistake. My colleague, you didn't have the gumption to call me to say anything to me about the meeting so that maybe I could go and educate and tell them the other side of it. Is that fair to do? Is that fair to call a meeting at the Veterans Resource Center at 6:30 and I'm sitting at a place talking to Mr. Thrash at 6 o'clock and he asked me was I going to the meeting? What meeting? Well, the one Councilman Atkins called. Well, my goodness. I'll say to you, and I want you to know it, because I'm going to put all the I am transparent. I had three signatures on a piece of paper. Three signatures that I asked was Councilman Atkins and Councilmember Scott Griggs. Councilman Atkins, your signature was number one. He signed the affidavit to move this far. But now, behind my back, there's a move to derail the process. Your name was first. His name was first. I want you all to know the name was first. Had I known that I was going to be betrayed, had I known that I was going to get knives in my back, then I would have done something else. I was smart enough to do that. But at the end of the day, you're going to know the real story. Then if I can get some slides up here on this screen at this time, so that you can see, this is the Veterans Resource Center. This is not Veterans Hospital, but it is the Honorable Veterans Resource Center. This is in Councilwoman Hill's district. It's a Veterans Resource Center. But right across the street, we talk about the love we have for Lancaster, but look at the trash. Look at the trash that's on Lancaster. Colleagues, look at the trash. This picture was taken 3 days ago by my camera. Look at the trash and look at the Veterans Resource Center. So while we're out here fussing about changing his name, we're going to just let it stay trashed up. Councilwoman Hill, what happened to the trash attack? It must have got attacked because the trash is here. And you're talking about representing a district? Then if you're going to represent it, represent it. If you're going to leave it like this, this is what all of Lancaster will remain to be. Unless you have somebody that's going to care. Unless somebody's going to have the backbone to stand up. And to the veterans, I love you guys that spoke last week at the City Planning Commission. I honor you all. But to you five that's sitting up there, y'all know who I'm talking about. When you all spoke, you failed to give your address to the Planning Commission. But they heard from the veterans. But you live in Irving. You don't even live in Dallas. But you're here telling us what we ought to do in an area that we live every single day, and that we're trying to empower and impact and change the attitude and bring about some hope. We cannot change it with the attitudes of not working together. I do not want us to be misled, and we have been misled. But it's okay. God spoke with me. It's okay. I win regardless because I'm fighting for what is right. I will not denounce a name of Nelson Mandela, who fought apartheid, who went to jail for it, who's to the same level as a Malcolm X and a Martin Luther King, in my opinion. We came from Africa. Nelson Mandela is from Africa. Councilwoman Hill, you fight for direct flights all the time from DFW Airport to Africa. We want a direct flight. We want a direct flight from DFW to Africa. But then when the African opportunity comes, then you get into a shell. To nail, you do the same thing. We all fight for it. Either we're going to stand up for what we're talking about and what we're telling people that we want and what we need, or we're going to continue to bullhorn the African-American community. I am black. I will stay black. I will raise and educate black. But I will be fair across the board with every citizen in this city for what is right. I live there. I know what makes a difference. I know what energizes. I know what changes. I know what brings down crime. I know what brings up hope. One block from where this trash is, there's a store named Audrey. Ms. Hill is still in your district. The prostitutes were there last night. The crime is there. The hanging out is there. The raggedy signs are there. It's all in just that area. It is not in my area. My area is the only area that has truly been, and the gentleman that said about the TIF, we have a TIF. I sought to bring a TIF, and there is a TIF on Lancaster already. But if we as African Americans were together, because the folks, they're divided. They're divided because you got two African Americans that fought, you got two African Americans, one that flew back in here from Washington just for this vote to vote it down. That was summoned to get here. Now, I'm telling you, I'm hot about this. I'm going to try to leave this alone a little bit. But I want the people to know where I am. And I want you to know why I'm where I am. I am for development. Mr. Jeffrey, I want to personally thank you for coming to my office just a short while ago. I want to personally extend another opportunity for us to continue to talk. There are things that I think that we do and should do for veterans, even more in and around the hospital. But it has to be a community thing. It can't just be a veterans thing. Oliver Wendell Holmes, they're not there at veterans. The other areas, they're not there at veterans. The other communities. But we do recognize and appreciate it. Barack Obama School, they're for it. The Urban League, Beverly Mitchell Brooks and them, they're for it. Fiesta is for it. The banks are for it. Everybody is for it, with the exception of just a few. Now, will there be other options? Yes. You all, in your statement, you said, well, let's change it to this name. Well, let's change it to that name. And let's make it some better. That's what you all just said. Okay. So if you are saying that let's change it to some name, then council, that should underline the fact that they do not have a fear with the expense of changing it, if indeed they felt that it could be changed to something other than Nelson Mandela. So let's take that off the table. Let's also take this off the table. Let's take the fact that I had a conversation with Ms. Hill. And Ms. Hill said to me, and I quote, I have a better idea for us to change the name and something greater for Nelson Mandela. We should not name Lancaster Nelson Mandela. Let's just name the Trinity Parkway. Well, Ms. Hill, I'm glad you think even that greater of Nelson Mandela. So since we're not changing it to the Trinity Parkway, it should not have been even a problem for us to change the street name of Lancaster, since we thought so much greater than Lancaster. Let's put the truth out here, the way it is, the way it came to me. I'm going to fight for it. We're going to do it. But to the veterans, you need to understand that there have been conversations. And these people, where you think it's not, we should be American and all of that, she wants to name the Trinity Parkway Nelson Mandela. That's not a veteran. That's not a person from America. But they're willing to do that. But then they're willing to trick you, to make you think, because this is not a vote against Nelson Mandela. This is a vote against Dwayne Carroway. I want y'all to understand that. With these two right here. That's what this is. We'll do anything they can to vote against whatever proposal is put on the table. But I can say this. Myself, and I'll let my colleague speak for herself, we supported everything that happened at Southwest Center Mall. When you all came needing $120,000, we supported it. When you came and needed some more money at Southwest Center Mall for a study, we supported it. Every item that you all have ever put up has been with support. And every item that we've ever put forward that's positive, it's been backbiting and backstabbing. I'm going to hold, but I'm going to make a motion at this time, and I'm going to ask my colleagues to please at least support this motion out of fairness, and out of fairness to Mr. McVeigh, out of fairness to the veterans, out of fairness to the people. I want to make a motion at this time, because then there will be more meetings. I'd like to move to close the public hearing and hold this item under advisement until November 12th of 2014. That's the motion. If I could only get a second, I got a second. Thank you. And then let me say this to the veterans. Let's sit down and talk about it. To the business owners, let's sit down and talk about it. To Mr. McZeal, let's sit down and talk about it. To all of the business owners and all of the employees and to everybody here, let's sit down and let's talk about it. And let's be open. But let's also be aware of the people with agendas. My agenda is one that's going to bring about quality retail, a better quality of life, some excitement, some things that will revitalize our community. Our, not mine, our. And we collectively together can make that decision. That is my motion at this time, Mr. Mayor.
Ms. Davis.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Ms. Carraway, I'm happy to second that motion with you. In 1980, Elsie Faye Hagen was the council member for District 7. And I was in my early 20s at that time. I was really 18 at that time. I had just graduated from James Madison High School. And I remember we was changing the street name of Martin Luther King Jr. It was a poor outcry about Dr. King. People fought Elsie Faye because she was changing the name of Dr. King, which was Forest Avenue. They called Dr. King everything but the Son of God. People came out in droves at the Dallas City Council, talked about him, talked about his ethics, talked about he was not a man of God. People did not want that street name to be Martin Luther King Jr. I remember that. Elsie Faye fought hard to change the name of Dr. King, which is now Martin Luther King, which was Forest Avenue. Then we worked for Malcolm X, and there's only two cities in the world that intersect Malcolm and Martin, New York City and Dallas, Texas. No other city in the world. I was sitting where you were sitting, and Ron Kirk was the mayor at that time. People came down and talked about Malcolm X, that they did not want to buy new mailers, they would have to change the name, and people talked about Malcolm X. They said how bad Malcolm was. Malcolm was bad for the people. Malcolm was not a man.
A Marxist.
Malcolm was everything but a human being. They talked about Malcolm. I sit here before you today. We have two streets in our district, Malcolm and Martin. Malcolm and Martin. And it's okay at the end of the day. It's okay. People went and got new mailers, new envelopes, new stationery, and guess what? Everybody is fine. The street is doing well. Change is okay. I read a book that Nelson Mandela wrote, Long to Be Free. Long to Be Free. And when I read that book, I can imagine waiting to be free. Can you imagine being locked up half of your life? Less than a man, treated like a dog. But want to be free in his own country. My grandmother kicked tight. My grandfather as well. And I remember my grandmother talking about the long to be free. Long to be free. And I respect Nelson Mandela because he stood for us. And then he became the president of his own country that he fought for. It's okay. So when you have your babies, your grandkids in the back seat of your car, and they ask you, Mommy, Daddy, who is Nelson Mandela? It's a homework assignment for them. It's a homework assignment for them. Long to be free. I can imagine. Of course, I wasn't born when he was not given his opportunity to be free. but I can only imagine not to be free and wanting to be free. Long to be free. It's a hard pill to swallow. When you're wanting to be free, and all Mr. Carroll Way is trying to do is what's right for you. Don't hit him. Don't do him like this. It is not fair to him. He's trying to do something that he feels that his own district could appreciate and like at the end of the day. I'm changing Elsie Faye. I'm putting her on Hatcher. Her name will go on Hatcher. I think Elsie Faye deserves that. Juanita Kraft, God bless your soul. Elsie Faye, God bless your soul. Charlamagne, God bless your soul. Diane Ragsdale, God bless your soul. And then here I am, sitting in a seat that they fought. It's a long to be free, long to be free. And we at the end of the day have to respect the man. We might not like him, but we have to respect Nelson. Nelson, my brother, I hope the angels are looking over you for all the work that you have done for mankind. All the work. And all we're talking about is the street. A sign that is going to go on the street. But it's not going to change the condition of our community unless we want to see changes in our community. Long to be free, Mr. Carraway. I think Nelson deserves more than this. I really do. I really do. So, Ms. Carraway, I will be supporting you because I have a lot of respect for Nelson. Didn't know him, but I know the work that he did for South Africa and apartheid. Long to be free. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Callahan.
Yeah, thank you, Mayor. Obviously, I think we all agree that Nelson Mandela is an iconic figure, a very important world figure, and I fully support honoring him in some way. I think there's a lot of people that are historic, you know, black figures that deserve that. You know, W.E.B. Du Bois, or Frederick Douglass, Harriet Tubman, Booker T. Washington. We could go on and on, just come to mind. But now we're here talking about Nelson Mandela. And there's been a lot of emotion, of course, and I respect that, and I understand, I get the struggle. I grew up during those volatile times in the 50s and the 60s, and so I do understand that, and my heart goes out to those people that fall in that struggle. But I think we need to separate the emotion here from the reality of what we're doing. I think Nelson Mandela is much bigger than Lancaster Road. I think we need to find something that truly honors the status, you know, of that given man. And I'm going to be on record. I'm not going to support this, and I'm going to tell you why. There's a lot of reasons why. But cost is one consideration. This Lancaster is a very, very long road. Oakland is one road. Forest Avenue is one size road. Lancaster is a very long road. Think about it. Just stop and think statistically. Driver's license changes, every credit card you got, all your utility addresses, all your stationery, your checks, everything you got, you know, Social Security numbers, all that stuff got to be changed. Not only is it costly, but it's a hassle. We got this stuff, you know, just getting an ID to vote. So imagine all the change it's going to take to get all that done. Also, I'm just generally opposed to historical roads. I think the gentleman came down here and stated very clearly, you know, we've got a lot of roads that are historic. Irving Boulevard, that's the road that went to Irving. Plano Road went to Plano. McKinney Avenue went to McKinney. Greenville Avenue went to Greenville.
Lancaster Road went to Lancaster. Sain Road went to the old community of Sain. Forney Road went to Forney. Garland Road went to Garland. Okay. I want to maintain that status of those historic farm to market roads. That's one primary reason that I'm opposed to that. But, you know, ever since we put the dark line down Lancaster, I remember that so clearly. It knocked out about 95 businesses. 95 businesses. Think about that. That wasn't just one person. There was maybe mom and pop. Maybe it was several people that owned the company. But that, I tell you, it was a depression over there until they got that road built. Now, here we are back just a few years later saying, let's go change everybody's driver's license and credit card, everything they got after putting up with that dark line. So the idea that somehow if we call this Nelson Mandela or anything is all of a sudden going to be a panacea for the problems that's occurred, you know, there in the past. There's not going to be a magic wand effect, in other words. Just because we do that, you know, the flowers will come up, the sun will shine, and everything will just be great. You know, if you want to name a road after a great man, go to 7th Street or Oak Street or Lilac Street or something that doesn't impact one of our historic roads. You know, but don't go out and pick on roads that, you know, like an East R.L. Thornton or a Robert Cullum or a Lancaster or a Plano road. Don't choose those. And don't try not to pick a long one. Try not to pick a long road because I'm very sensitive to the businesses, the churches, the residents, and the schools that have all got to deal with the impact of that change. And then after you've done it, again, you're expecting great things just simply by changing. I don't think that Oakland has become that great of a boulevard now since we changed that. That in and of itself, that's not going to change anything. So, again, I'm opposed to this. I'm also opposed to closing the public hearing. I don't think that we've had near enough time to vet this. You can see there's clearly two sides drawn, and it's clearly has not been, I don't think it's been promoted enough to give the people, if we really want to give the people a chance to talk, dadgummit, let's give them a chance to talk. But don't close that public hearing and then go straight to vote when other people have got a right to have their say. That's transparency. That's true democracy. That's what we ought to do. Thank you.
Ms. Hill.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I vividly recall the Sunday morning when Nelson Mandela walked out of prison after 27 years. I, like the rest of the world, sat in front of my television and applauded and cried tears of joy that this man was finally free, and because of his sacrifice, the world was a different place. I respect and honor Nelson Mandela. I will not support this name change. I will not support a motion that closes this discussion to the public. I have told my esteemed colleague from the beginning that I would not support his suggestion. And I told him the reasons. Nelson Mandela is bigger than Martin Luther King Jr. He is bigger than Malcolm X. He is bigger than Lyndon Johnson. He is bigger than George Bush. He is bigger than Kay Bailey Hutchinson. We have named large places for presidents and our former senator. To name of just one road for this man who is such a large world figure is a disgrace to the man's legacy. We need to work together to find something big enough to honor Nelson Mandela and his legacy, and this proposal is not big enough. It's too small for Mandela. I represent a portion of Lancaster Road, that portion that houses the Veterans Hospital, the VA. That is the second reason I will not support this name change. I have a number of veterans who live in my district. Not one veteran has come to me supporting this change, and I will not slap American veterans in the face by ignoring their wishes. The veterans are not asking for a name change, but what the veterans are saying is, if you want to change the name, and we don't, but if you want to change the name, at least honor an American veteran. That in no way dishonors Nelson Mandela. It simply says we recognize the American heroes, every one of them who has fought, bled, and died for this country. Their facility sits on Lancaster Road. Name the road for one of them if you have to change it. The gentleman who came mentioned 7,000. There is at least 70,000, if not 700,000, American veterans whose names we could put on this road if we chose to change it, which we should not. As for the elected representatives, it is a misrepresentation to say that Congresswoman Johnson or any of the state elected representatives agree. That is not what they said. What they have said is that is a city issue and we will abide by what the city wants. Congresswoman Johnson made it very clear that this is not her issue. She did not weigh in either way. She is leaving it to the city council, this body. And as an elected representative of this body, I say no. The state representatives have said the same thing. They have said that's a council issue, and we will abide by whatever the council decides. You have been asked to spread the word as to how we stand. Please spread this word. Bonsfield Jones Hill will not dishonor Nelson Mandela by choosing something so small as a street when we have honored others with things much bigger. Spread the word that Bonsfield Jones Hill will not dishonor American veterans by ignoring their words and ignoring their legacy. Spread the word. Thank you, Ms. Mayor.
Mr. Caraway, round
thank you.
Two.
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you, Mayor. And thank you, Ms. Hill, for making that very passionate intellectual statement. And thank you, too, Ms. Callahan. It only goes to show you who's in touch and who's out of touch. If you're in touch, you know what's going on. If you're out of touch, then you don't. Ms. Hill respectfully has approximately 15% of this from Leadbetter to Illinois. I have 85% from Leadbetter to Illinois. You saw pictures of her 15%. Good speech,
Speeches get you nowhere. Good proper talk ain't nothing but talk. Let's just keep it 100 and keep it real. She made mention that Nelson Mandela deserves something greater. Well, that's fine. Well, I wonder why you haven't been working on it. I wonder why it hadn't gotten started by you. I wonder when is it going to take place. We're getting ready to go off to city council, y'all. When is it going to crank up the engine? When are we going to name this big building? When are we going to name this big fantastic and take advantage of this big fantastic opportunity? When? Wait broke the wagon, y'all. If you are serious about representing your community, you're going to do something about it. You're not going to wait for an opportunity to stand up and just say no. I guess I'm a liar. Senator Ross West and I, and Helen Gillens, and Tony Rose, and a few others, we did have a conversation. I guess Ms. Hill is listening on my telephone or something. And listening to our conversations. You don't know what we talked about. You don't know what they told me. And I dare not ever misrepresent other elected officials. And to say that it's a disgrace and that I'm disgracing Nelson Mandela, give me a break. The disgrace is when your planning commissioner of Black Images Bookstore, Emma Rogers, made the motion, as many black books as we've bought, much support that we've given her, made a motion to deny the change. I want the folks to know exactly what's going on, because I'm not in nobody's pocket and nobody's in mine. I'm in the heart and the mind of the people that I represent. The people in District 4, the people in the Southern Sector, we are, and we don't have to be here to make our point known, because that's why I'm here. That's why we're here. You're always going to have opposition that wants to come down and rally. But there are people that believe, and when you work it as hard as it has been worked, when you're out there talking to the drug dealers, when you're out there trying to educate the kids, when you're out there trying to get the prostitutes off the street, when you're in there trying to build new houses and knocking down houses across the entire city, the National Guard was just here. I'm not a backbiter. I shared the National Guard. I could have been like others, a few other of my distinct colleagues, and I could have kept it to myself and got all the glory. This is not glory for Duane Carraway. This is the right thing to do for us to bring down crime, to provide a better quality of life, to provide a quality of hope, a spirit of hope, change into the community. People from hanging out on the streets that our tax dollars are going and paying for, because we have to pick up the trash off the streets. We have to send the police over there. We have to look at the blight. And then to some of these absentee landlords. Yes, there were 20 that came back, or 20, approximately 20. One gentleman owned 10 of the 20, and he responded 10 times negatively. Here they are right here. I'm not going to call the man's name. All of it, same handwriting. The man responded, he owned 10 properties. Let me say this. I'm glad he responded, because he's a slumlord too. Now we know how to reach him. He responded, Sheffy. We know how to reach him now. He has vacant lots with high weeds and trash. But yet he's going to respond to us and try to tell us what the heck we ought to be doing over on Lakersburg. I'm so glad he responded. We will be dealing with that. We have been looking for him, so that he can pick up the very trash that you saw on some of these screens. He can cut the high weeds. He can bring about some pride. and he can start renting and fix up some of those raggedy facilities that he's letting the tobacco shops rent from him. That's also selling drugs right in our area. We know what we're talking about. Am I right? Can I get an amen? There you go. I understand. So now here's where we are. To the veterans, we have Veterans Drive already. You all chose this. We didn't. Here's Veterans Drive right here. Starts in Mr. Atkins District in District 8, runs right here through and right behind the Veterans Hospital, and it turns right. It is called Veterans Drive. It's already a name for Veterans Drive. Give me a break. Here it is. Here, let's, we pass out some copies if y'all want some. We got plenty of them over here. We pass out some copies. It's Veterans Drive already. The veterans wanted this. This is what they wanted, and this is what we gave them. Now, in the process of moving forward, I want to just ask my colleagues, I want us to have discussion. I want to put this thing off to November 7th. I do want us, November 12th, I do want us to hear from folks so that we can collectively together cut the politics out of it. The only reason I got to stay close to public hearing, I'm being backstabbed. I'm not being told of the meeting. They're doing all of this trickery behind the door stuff and calling and stirring up stuff that if we're going to have a quality opportunity to really do what's right and respect the wishes of the council member that represents the majority of this district, then let me work those things out as we worked out other issues that involve you all in you all's districts. You all have worked out some things in your districts, and you worked it out with the people, and you bought it in, and then the people came with it, and everybody was satisfied. We voted and moved it down the road. I'm appalled to the fact that we think that we should not change the name to Nelson Mandela. But yet and still, when Ms. Hill proposes to do something greater, the very messages that you all had about an American and he's not from America, that's erased off the board. That's erased off the board. So it's a two-fold situation here. You don't want Lancaster, but let's do something bigger. Well, come on. If it's about Nelson Mandela, then that's what it is. Get a grip. Let's understand where we're going. All right, I'm gonna stop.
Okay, Mr. Davis,
Mr. Mayor.
Oh, sorry, yes. Mr. Callahan.
And Mr. Mayor, I want to propose an alternative motion that would leave the public hearing open.
I'll accept that.
Okay.
Can you get a second?
Okay, he'll accept it. Mr. Davis.
Was there a second?
Yes, Mr. Carraway did. Okay. Ms. Davis. Oh. He's second, yeah. Ms. Davis? Oh. Okay, Mr. Carraway, number one, that yesterday there's a lady by the name of Nancy Thomas. Is she there? Ms. Thomas, you out there, Ms. Thomas? Yeah, okay, thank you. I was just trying to make sure she was out there. She lived in her business in District 8. And I'm going to hand these out in District 4. She called the meeting. So I'm trying to put on record straight who called the meeting. When someone called the meeting who I represented, I'm going to come to the meeting. When I came to the meeting yesterday morning, once the CPC made a ruling, I stayed out of the woodwork. I did not go to my CPC and tell them what to do, what not to do, how to vote. That's not my job. It's a process to get going. Last night, Ms. Thompson called me, I think it was up about 3 o'clock, and said she wanted to have a meeting. And I said I could not do it at 6 or about 6:30. The business community in my district, District 8, called the meeting. Councilman Atkins did not call the meeting. Again, I did not. But that morning, Tuesday morning, I drove up and down my district, not District 3, not District 4.
I drove up and down to ask what do they stand on this issue, to be open about it. Yes, I did find the name change, the recommendation. But I also signed one for Eddie Holiday. Again, I signed one for Eddie Holiday. And the resident came and said they did not want it, but I did sign it. So it's not unusual for me to sign something. And the citizen, the resident, said something different. I just want to put that out there. Now, what I think and what you think, what everyone else thinks, I live in District 8, and I represent the people in District 8. It's my job to hear my resident. And that's what I'm doing. Listen to my resident first. That's who elect me, and that's why I'm here. So I just want to put that on record. Yeah. We had a motion on the table. Monica Alonzo.
Mr. Mayor, can you clarify the motion for me, please?
The motion was Mr. Caraway would keep the public hearing open and move it to November the 12th.
That, that's correct.
And that's the same motion you were saying to keep the public hearing open. Okay, that's the motion on the table. The motion on the table, same motion. It's identical, same motion. And Mr. Caraway seconded the motion.
Keep it open for the public hearing.
Mr. Caraway, second the motion. Second the motion. Okay?
Record vote.
Well, he modified.
Mr. Caraway's original motion was to close the public hearing and delay the vote. He modified that based on what Mr. Callahan said to leave the public hearing open and delay the vote.
To November the 12th, right?
Yes.
Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. So everyone know what the motion on the table, right? Okay.
Record vote.
Please cast your vote. All have voted on the motion. Voting in favor, Council Members Medrano, Davis, Caraway, Gates, Allen, Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Alonzo, Council Members Kingston, Callahan, Grayson, Griggs, Cadane, and Mayor Pro Tem Atkins. Voting against, Council Members Kleinman and Council Member Hill. Mayor Rawlings is absent on city business. The motion carries, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Next item, please.
Thank you. We move now to the afternoon speakers. At the request of...
all respect, Mayor Atkins, may I address you?
Excuse me. Next, open.
At the request of Mayor Pro Tem Atkins, we're going to go ahead and call Jerry Russell to come to the podium. Mr. Russell, you are allowed 2 minutes to speak. I will restart the speaker guidelines. Speakers must observe the same rules of propriety, decorum, and good conduct applicable to members of the City Council. Any speaker making personal, impertinent, profane, or offensive remarks, or who become boisterous while addressing the City Council, will be removed from this session of the City Council. Please go ahead, sir. State your name and address for the record.
Good afternoon, Mayor, City Council, and residents of Dallas.
Just wait around to clear the noise.
Okay.
Okay, go ahead.
Yes, my name is Jerry Russell. I graduated from Addison High School in Oak Cliff, and I am an honorably discharged American soldier. My address... and please pay attention, my address where I live, 4500 South Lancaster, room number 181. If that brings any, you know, ideas to your mind, yes, I'm a homeless veteran. I'm also unemployed. I'm residing in the homeless dorm at the Veterans Hospital. The reason why I wanted to come speak to you today is the plight of homeless veterans in Dallas and the advocacy for them. I don't have a lot of time to talk, so I just want to speak personally myself. I've been unemployed and homeless since April of 2011 due to an illegal firing by Verizon Fiber Optics when I worked in Irving. Due to the stress, I have... not seek the job because of my paranoia and discovering that I had been diagnosed with mental health issues as far back as 92, but there was no advocacy for me to seek help. I'm getting that help now at the Veterans Administration Hospital. I'm seeking a palatable, livable residence, and I have received a voucher from the HUD-VASH program. The problem with this is the program was supposed to find housing, and it's not a housing program, it's a case management for people that have a need for case management, whether it be mental health or addiction. If you look at the map and the apartments that we are suggested to go to are all heavily drug infested, crime infested, where veterans are being assaulted and lured back into a lifestyle of drug addiction. There are apartments that were built right across the street from the Veterans Hospital at 4400 Lancaster, called the Lancaster Apartments, which were built with $30 million of public money. And in that, the program requires 93 units to be rented at market rate, and then 100 for low income. They have turned down every veteran with a HUD-VASH voucher to get quality housing in an area that has been, the crime has gone down, the drugs have gone down, the prostitution. I've been going there since 92. And I love what we have done with Lancaster Boulevard. But the thing is honoring the veterans would be to say, let's honor them and give them equal opportunity to good housing that would be productive in their case management to get off the drugs and be able to have access to mental health treatment at the VA without having to go from way far away to get there. And that's my time.
Thank you. Next speaker.
The next speaker, Ruth Stewart. Ms. Stewart is going to be followed by Miguel Esparza, Claire Nelson, David Perziosi, and Darren Jefferson.
My name is Ruth Stewart. I live at 7022 Balalaika, Dallas, Texas, 75241. I'm in, my councilperson is Tanel Atkins, but this has to do with District 1 Sanitation Recycling Department. I know that you all have been out of the loop on this situation. The supervisor in District 1, I will not call a name. I've already spoke with Stephanie McHenry, and she is checking into this, has been blackmailing a lot of the resource staffing workers because they make minimum wage to $8.50. They have been having to loan him money, and he has been telling them that he has control of them working with the city because they are actually not city employees and that they have no rights just to dangle on the back of the truck. One of the city drivers, citizen called in saying that he was smoking marijuana on the truck, and the supervisor helped him and took him to falsify a drug test so that he could pass and had the people dangling on the back of the truck to agree and to say that he was not doing anything. I feel that this should be brought to the council's attention, that it should be some type of way where the people who work for resource staffing, because they are not city employees, would have some type of rights. And there have been fights in District 1 recycling because the supervisors constantly taunt the employees about their salaries, how much they make, how much they do not make. And I feel that it is getting out of hand, and it has been by the grace of God that no one has been hurt. This is a big problem in the recycling department with the resource staffing and the supervisors, and the drivers. Anytime, as Carolyn Davis said, these workers just long to be free. Just because they have been in prison too, they are still people and human beings. And for them to be treated like second-class citizens because they work for a temp agency, that should not be. Thank you.
Staff, if Kelly, make sure you get with her information. Make sure the sanitation, please, Kelly. Thank you. Mr. Stewart, would you get with Kelly? He's coming towards you right now.
Next speaker, Miguel Esparza. Not present. Claire Nielsen. Ms. Nielsen, there's a microphone to your right.
So my name is Claire Nelson. I came off the board after 5 years of Metro Dallas Homeless Alliance this last January. But I didn't come to talk about homeless issues today. I came to talk about the farmers market. I was there yesterday, and I think most people in the city of Dallas are really upset about farmers market now because all our vendors who have been there for years are gone. And I know that they're redoing it, and hopefully it's going to get better. But yesterday, I bought a bottle of water from one of the new vendors who has a beautiful booth over there. And after I moved away from him for a couple minutes and opened the bottle to take a drink of it, it's actually a company, I have his card here with me, called Boom Juice. And after I moved away and opened this bottle, I looked at it, there's no label on it, there's no writing on it, there's nothing on it. Unlike his booth, which has all these great big signs that say Boom Juice and Do a Cleanse and all that. So I went back and asked him. This happened to be supposedly aloe vera water. And so I said, how do I even know there's aloe vera in here or what is in here? And how can you be selling something like this? And you know what he told me? He said, we have labels on our bottles, but when we put them in the cooler, they came off, so we took the labels all off. I said, I think it's against the law. And so I called Cone Compliance when I left there, and of course they told me they're going to work on it. It's going to take 15 days and then maybe 45 days. But I just want people to know, for, what's going on over there now, there are also other vendors that I went by after I left him. They're selling blueberries that say Drisco. That's a farmer that's growing stuff like it was before here in Dallas. Why are they selling Drisco blueberries that you can buy at any store at farmer's market? And why are they selling something like this that costs $5? And I'm not crazy. I don't spend $5 on water, but I just bought it so I could show it to you all. And somebody needs to investigate whoever is over there and what they're doing at farmers market, because it's not a good thing for this city. And most people that I know, and I worked at farmers market, I actually worked with a lady who had the first coffee concession in there back about 15 years ago, Clore Hogan, who also was the editor of the first homeless newspaper in Dallas. And so I worked there with her for 4 years, and I go to farmers market every weekend until they remodeled it now. This is absolutely insane, if you ask me. That's it.
Thank you very much. Ms. Grayson?
Anybody who wants to see this can have it, by the way. I'll put it right here.
I was wondering, Mr. Evans, if you'd want to respond or if you'd want to send us a memo about this.
Actually, I found out about this particular issue early this morning, and we sent some folks out there to look at it. And what they were doing was these bottles of water, their mineral water, they've been keeping them in a ice chest with ice in them. And as you know, when you have bottles with labels on them in an ice chest, the labels will fall off. So they've been keeping extra labels, and apparently they ran out of those labels the day that she was there. The solution is obviously a refrigerator, and that's what they're doing.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure that they weren't going to have 45 more days to sell bottles with no labels on them.
No, that was actually, apparently code told her it would take that amount of time to resolve the issue. We resolved it this morning.
Thank you.
Okay.
Your next speaker, David Preziosi. Mr. Preziosi will be followed by Darren Jefferson.
You can speak. And he was out of order, Ms. Grayson. He was out of order. He shouldn't have spoke. We didn't have a quorum. We'd have eight people.
Who next?
Oh, is she here? Oh, Clara Mahal. Oh. I didn't see you. I didn't see Clara. Okay, Rose. I'm sorry.
Thank you, Mr. Preziosi. You may begin now.
Thank you, Mayor and City Council members, for letting me speak. I'm David Preziosi with Preservation Dallas. We are greatly disheartened by the current demolition underway at Main and Elm Streets by the Headington Companies. All of the buildings were important historic buildings for Dallas and were listed as contributing structures in the Dallas Downtown National Register Historic District. Their integrity and character contributed greatly to the district, and they're part of Dallas's early 20th century commercial history. The demolitions occurred without any opportunity for public discourse or conversation with City of Dallas Preservation staff, local citizens, or Preservation Dallas. Buildings help define a city, but people do as well, and they should have the right to know about the removal of significant historic buildings and what it is to go in their place. In this case, there was no chance to explore redevelopment options. We know from successful rehabilitation projects all over the city that there could have been a successful solution to meet both preservation needs and new development goals. Moving forward, we would like to collaborate with the City of Dallas to better protect the remaining historic resources left in downtown, especially those in the National Register Historic District. There are many ways that we can work to protect the remaining downtown historic buildings, such as individually designating historic buildings listed on the National Register, overlaying a City of Dallas Landmark District on the Dallas Downtown National Register District, flagging properties with historic significance so that there is some level of review by the preservation staff before issuing a demolition permit, using the city economic development incentives to place a priority on rehabilitating historic properties over demolition and new construction. We would ask that the City of Dallas consider placing a moratorium on demolition of historic buildings over 50 years old in downtown for at least 6 months. This will give the city an opportunity to engage citizens about the future of Dallas's historic resources. And Preservation Dallas would be happy to lead this effort. If we are to be a world-class city, Dallas must honor the unique architecture that enabled Dallas's growth and prosperity. We must follow the path of great American cities like New York, Chicago, Boston, San Francisco, and more, who protect their historic landmarks because they know these buildings contribute to the culture of the city and make it a more desirable place for people to live, work, and visit. We must aspire to more than demolishing buildings simply because they are old, and find ways to incorporate and reuse what our forefathers built with great craftsmanship and skill, which has laid the groundwork for downtown Dallas as we know it today. Thank you.
I'd like to respond to that. And sir, I really appreciate you coming down to do that. And while my district does not cover downtown, really we're affected all over Dallas. And I don't know when we're going to get real in Dallas to take care of our past history. Our neighbor to the west, Fort Worth, has always been much more progressive in this given area. I'm all about property rights and giving people a right to say how to use their property, but I just think there ought to be a better way for us to preserve some of our history. I was very dismayed the other day to see that 129-year-old building come tumbling down. That goes back to 1885. You know, folks, we just don't have that many buildings from that era, and we need to preserve those that we can. And I just think we can develop a better strategy, a mutual win-win strategy on this, and not taking property owners' rights away, but just see and investigate and try to prioritize some of those to see if there might be an alternative. And what I'm not for, so I'll be clear, is a perpetual issue like we've had at Crozier Tech. I just believe something ought to be done or that building ought to come down. I'm tired of waiting on Crozier Tech. My mother even attended there briefly, but still, we've tried and tried and tried and tried, and I think we tried again to get something done on Crozier Tech, and I think now we're beginning to get that done. But we don't want this to become just a thorn in the side of Dallas and be an impediment to progress. But still, where we can save these buildings, I think we ought to make every effort to do that. And I hope that we'll reach out to you and your organization and others like you to do that. Thank you.
Appreciate that. Thank you.
Your final speaker this afternoon is Darren Jefferson. Not present. No further speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Mayor, before I move to adjourn, which I am going to, I want to remind all people of faith that we begin at sundown the Jewish celebration of Rosh Hashanah, and I encourage people of all faiths, learn what that means, but be in solidarity with our Jewish brothers and sisters as they begin this celebration. I move to adjourn.
And thank you. Oh, before you that, still thank you for bringing up. Now we're going to finish up at 2 o'clock on that day. Yeah.
Adjourn at 2:46.
Reach adjourn at 2:47.